you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Anyway, this is Super Dave on the All Show on 88.9 Radio Free Pasadena. And before... So anyways, coming up, we got some Pennywise and some Beastie Boys. But first, these commercials.
How great is that, huh?
Damn, is it Christmas already that we need sweaters and it's winter time? So anyways...
Well, how much fried chicken can you eat?
Hear that?
He sure is cool, isn't he?
Mercy, what a grueling line of inquiry.
Hey, how about a little less questions and a little more shut the hell up?
Well, you all have a wonderful morning, and I hope your listeners will get a sweat into the oldies three. Remember to take care of your health. It's the only thing you have.
And now...
Bye, Pete. Bye, Linda.
Our feature presentation.
Why did he call us Pete and Linda? What's that about?
Richard Simmons is confused. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Remember that time he was laying on the street and we were trying to get cars to run over him?
I
Wasn't
do.
Wasn't he protesting you guys
he
or
was,
something?
Yeah, he was being all drama queen on us.
He gets his feelings hurt in every interview. You know that.
Yeah. We were mocking him, of course, because, you know.
That's his way.
And then he was like, oh, why don't you just run over me with a car? And he ran out in the middle of the street and stopped traffic and laid down. And we were like, come on, people, come right on through.
No sense of self-importance
nope,
there.
Not at all.
But I'll tell you something about Richard Simmons. Obviously, he's got some mental issues. There's no question that he's, you know, still fat on the inside, and therefore he's uber sensitive to people making fun of him. I mean, I get that. You don't have to, you know, you can be an armchair psychiatrist and see that. But I do think that he really does genuinely care about people and about helping people. I do think he has a good heart.
Seems like
oh,
it.
I do too.
But
yeah,
still, if we could have gotten him run over, it would have been good. Right?
Well, yeah, of course. Okay. We'd be heroes. Are you kidding? They'd probably put our face on the money.
Okay.
But I still don't know how, if you're trying to not get people to make fun of you, how you go with those itty-bitty shorts all these years later, how you're now 60 or whatever he is, and you're still running around in little shorts.
I don't think he wants to not have people not make fun of him. I think he's comfortable that way.
That works for
that's,
him.
Yeah, because attention brings attention.
Yeah, because then he's a martyr. So everybody's like, oh, wow, Richard, they're being so mean to you. And it works for him.
Yeah.
But I agree with Bean. He's still fat on the inside. What are you going to do?
Absolutely.
How do you lose that weight?
He's not really. Is he on TV anymore?
I don't know. All the time he's on shows. You know, he's That's still a very popular guest on the talk shows and whatnot. And he still runs his, you know, I mean, people would be shocked to find out. And I don't know if this is still the case, but back in the days where we used to have Richard on, I mean, that industry of his was worth millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. I mean, this is not a guy who was struggling to get by. This is a guy who built himself a deal-a-meal empire.
Yeah. Wow.
But that's still going, do you know?
I don't know if it's as popular as it was, but I mean, you know, there's only so much one man can do with his time, but I know he still does do the, you know, the cruise ships where, you know, the fatties, you know, 1,000 fatties get on a cruise ship and go with Richard Simmons and they exercise every day. You know, I do know he still does those.
That is a bad cruise right there. That is not a cruise I want to go on.
I know.
Everyone's fat.
Exactly.
Can they add more people like halfway through and they've lost some weight?
Oh, I don't know. And maybe they are very limited as to how many can get on one of those cruise ships because they're overweight. I don't know.
I love
and
that.
And cruise ships, you know, you gain weight on cruise ships. They have so much fat. Food.
They do stuff food into you all the time, but I would guess for fatty fat fat, they wouldn't.
They just throw out chicken breasts and salad?
Rob, fight over
it? You're screwed?
Just throw out like one for every four people and let them fight it out.
Well, they would lose weight. Can't go anywhere.
It's true.
Well, it is weird to be talking about Richard Simmons. That's not a name that comes up very often, that's for sure.
All right. Good morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:34, and it's Monday, the 2nd of Poon.
Hello, Poon.
Ow, that hurt.
I'm glad you thought about that before.
How about that?
Because I wouldn't have remembered what it was.
Yeah.
All right. Second Mike, I know you were on the red carpet yesterday for the MTV show. You don't normally bring back a souvenir. What's this hanging in the studio? What's this about?
This would be the brassiere of one Luscious Liz from Big Boy's Neighborhood.
And you got that how?
I asked.
And she just took it off.
Well, she did like a costume change, I think, where she came in casual clothes and then got geeked up for the red carpet. And her dress that she was wearing was kind of like strapless, so she had to take her bra off.
Mm-hmm.
And I became
aware. Wait, she did a costume change on the red carpet?
No. She went to like the changing rooms, I guess. I mean, at one point when I first saw her, she was wearing like jeans and a t-shirt. And then she came back, she was like in like a beautiful gown.
Okay.
Oh, so, I see. So she just didn't want to drive down to Universal in her nice clothes because she wanted to look good on the carpet. Okay, gotcha.
If it wasn't 100 degrees, it felt like it. So I understand what she was doing.
Right.
And then I saw that she had changed, and I was like, hey, where's your bra? She said, smooth. It's right here. I was like, give it to me. And that's the end of it. And so,
all right. Yeah, that's hot.
That was a good story right there.
She came alive.
About, 13 some odd hours ago, this was touching the tender flesh of her areola.
All right.
Why would she give that up to you, though?
Because she loves me.
Did you run into or see or interview Megan Fox?
I ran into her. Not literally. I didn't, run physically into
right.
her. But I saw her a lot.
Yeah.
She couldn't have looked any better than she did on the show last night. She Kevin, did you see her?
I did, yeah.
She is a
in
queen.
The white dress?
Yeah.
She's the queen of my heart. I saw a lot of her, but she did not talk to me so much.
Well, that was wise on her part, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Rainn Wilson came out of the MTV Movie Awards with Megan Fox to present an award, and he came out with a giant bouquet of roses in front of his crotch. He was naked other than the roses he was holding in front of his crotch. And he forced her to take the roses away, and then he had a teddy bear taped onto his groin and then tried to get her to take the teddy bear away.
And, take it! He was yelling at her.
Why does he love to be naked so much?
It's funny.
Because it's funny.
Guys who know that they don't look that good gave up a long time ago. So
it's
they
like
go,
the Will Ferrell school
might as well,
of
yes,
thought.
Yes, I might as well use it to make people laugh because I look bad naked.
Yeah, a lot of times the bigger stars, they won't talk to press on the red carpet. They got stuff to do. And obviously he had something to do with the show, so I understand he was busy, couldn't talk to people. But usually they just walk on by. They say, I can't right now. He had one of the best lines yesterday. He's walking down the red carpet, and one of the other radio stations says, Rain, please, can you please talk to us just for one second? He's like, I can't. I've got liposuction. And he walks away.
Well, Mike was on the red carpet for the MTV Movie Awards, which is always an enormously painful program to watch. But at least maybe Mike had some fun out there on the red carpet.
I did, actually. Yesterday I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's all about the celebrities that are there. Show's not good.
Right.
It's a terrible show.
Yeah.
But, you do get Tom Cruise to come out and give an award, You get some pretty
That's
big
pretty
stars.
Good, yeah.
But
I think his dyslexia is coming back, by the way. He seems to be having trouble reading again. I don't know if you noticed how badly he butchered his intro.
Well, it wasn't good.
Yeah.
He needed some more vitamins and exercise, apparently. Mm-hmm.
I think the problem with that, there are numerous problems with that show. First of all, it's just celebrities on for two solid hours promoting their movies. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's essentially an infomercial for summer movies, and I get that. And there were some, don't get me wrong, there were some funny taped pieces, some funny sketches and stuff. But everybody seems to be going through the motions of pretending that they're having a good time, and I doubt anybody's really enjoying it out there, to tell you the truth. And for some reason, MTV whips the audience into this screaming frenzy for the solid 2 hours.
Well, they do that for pretty much everything.
Yeah, it's just it's painful to listen to.
It wasn't that bad.
It was awful. Thank God there was a 30-minute Wayne's World bit, too, by the way. Thank God that wasn't funny and was interminable. They thought they were back on Saturday Night Live. They made it so long and so bad.
Yeah, that could have been a little shorter. I think it's still going on.
It might be. But that's certainly what the kids were there for, is to see a Wayne's World bit from 1990. So they had that going for them.
All right.
Nice.
A full recap coming up. Also on today's show, we're going to talk about pranks gone wrong.
Oh, good.
Because let's face it, all of us do pranks. And every once in a while, it's a nightmare and you go, oh, dear God, that's not what I meant.
Yeah.
We'll tell you a great story about some guys that were just clowning around and his groin on fire. Because that's what happens.
You're not having fun until.
That's right.
We're also going to talk about this strange meeting of Gene Simmons and Condoleezza Rice.
Wow, I didn't see that one coming, I got to tell you.
I think they're a couple now.
Oh, my.
Yeah,
that'd be the best.
That would be the best.
That would be awesome. And Kiss bass player Gene Simmons married Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice in an impromptu ceremony in Stockholm this weekend.
That would be the best. Now, do we have the professional gaming team from Los Angeles? Are we talking to them? Complexity?
I know that was the plan. If that came through, then yeah, we're talking to the general manager of Complexity.
We were talking last week. We were making fun of our friend Andrew Siciliano about how he was doing the play-by-play for the draft that they had for the professional gaming league. It's ridiculous. But they have a local Los Angeles chapter. So
well,
we're trying
to support them.
Apparently the North American season starts June 16th.
All right, there you go.
And they got teams all over the world, by the way. There's teams in Europe and Latin America, Asia.
They all play, everywhere. Or it's just United States?
We'll find out. I suspect, my guess is that there's some sort of U.S. champion that probably goes against the European champion, that goes against the Asian champion. I bet they have some sort of a world championship as well. But who knew that you could be on a professional gaming team?
No kidding. Also, we talked to Flea on Friday about the Lakers. We'll give you some highlights of that coming up just after 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. He couldn't be a bigger fan or more excited about the series.
He's geeked. He's hardcore. Way crazy. He writes a blog about the Lakers. He watches every single game. He's great. And also, we have Coldplay in the studio today.
How about that?
Talking about the new CD and other various things that they're doing, including some touring.
Mm-hmm.
They were great last night.
They were great last night, yeah.
Yeah.
I liked them. So we got that coming up this morning as well on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a quick break and come right back with Ralph Showbiz Bean.
Seems like perhaps that's Mr. Ralph Garman joining us in the K-Rock studio this morning. Hey, Ralph, how was your weekend?
Indeed. I'm fine. I'm just upset that Psycho Mike's still here.
What? Upset that he's here?
Yes.
Why?
But I'm still here. Just
well, we're all upset.
In general,
here, why today?
Out amongst the free populace,
right?
I mean, he goes to Universal, steals a woman's bra, and then sets fire to the joint. And I think that is just out of line.
You're the one that started that fire.
Just inacceptable.
No, I had nothing.
Why would you do that?
Uh-huh. Right.
It was Lindsay's vag.
Really?
It was just too hot to handle.
It was. There's a lot
she
of
went by the Back to the Future courthouse and it just burst into flames.
Exactly. She went to the backdraft set and the King Kong. Next thing you know,
she should not have taken the studio tour.
The first thing I thought, Ralph, was don't they keep a lot of movies there? Don't they have a storage facility or something like that where they keep a part of the vast Universal movie library?
Their film and video library went up.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Wow.
But then later, like much later in the day, I saw one report. I want to know if you know any more than this, that they were not the master only copies of those films.
They
were copies elsewhere.
They are not the original masters of those films. Those are located in a subterranean vault that is like nuclear proof.
Down there with the aliens?
Exactly.
In Area 51?
The bodies from the autopsy. But it was a bummer. The Back to the Future courthouse went up. I love that set. Whenever you take the studio tour, they do a little circle there. And it was also used for a bunch of famous films. And that's gone now.
Yeah.
But I'm glad, glad King Kong's gone because that was BS. That part of the rock. Oh, look out. I'm in the helicopter. And it looks like a giant ape is attacking the city. You smell that banana breath? Shut up, tour guide. Shut up.
Kevin, you probably cried yesterday when King Kong burned up, right?
How dare you?
Of course. Kevin cries every time King Kong gets hurt.
How dare you?
Yeah. But apparently it's open today. The theme park and City Walk is back open today at 10 a.m. if you'd like to go and smell the charred remains of partial part of the studio.
Now that you're in Hollywood adjacent, Ralph, I guess you got a pretty good whiff of that fire yesterday.
I was like, geez, I moved to this area and there's billows of black smoke filling the sky at the end of the world.
Maybe I went outside to run, coughed once, and went back in.
Me too.
That was it.
That's what I did.
It happens to me every time I try to run, by the way.
It's much like Ralph, by the way, the wreckage is still smoking this morning. I don't know if you saw the news this morning, but it's still smoldering out there.
They're bulldozing the roofs off the buildings that burnt, apparently, because they burnt to the ground, but because the roof's collapsed on top, there's still fires burning beneath.
Would you say the roof is on fire?
I would say that. I would say also, we don't give up, let the burn.
Sure.
Right.
Just wanted to check.
Let's take a look. Speaking of movies, take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Inexplicably.
Makes perfect sense to me.
Sex and the City, number one in its debut over the weekend. $55.7 million was made by those four chatty whores.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That was the original title for the film, by the way, Four Chatty Whores.
I like it.
But they went with
Sex. Isn't it something like double what even the studio that put it out was predicting?
Yeah, this was far above expectations, given the interminable length of the film.
How long is it?
It's 2:20.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's 2 hours and 20 minutes.
And the fact that very few men went to go.
Right, exactly. And that it's rated R, even more importantly.
But it was sold out all weekend in a lot of places.
Look, there are a lot of lonely women, Kevin, with nothing to do but feed their cats.
I don't think those were the only women who went.
Yes.
Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull had an excellent second weekend, almost a little over $46 million in its second week. The Strangers, in its debut, made $20.7 million, good enough to make it number three.
That's a movie that cost $9 million to make, by the way. How happy are those guys this morning?
It's a nice return on your investment.
Yeah.
Over 100%. Iron Man, number 4 at the box office this weekend with $14 million. Then Chronicles of what? Narnia. Prince Caspian, number 5. What Happens in Vegas was number 6. Baby Mama, number 7.
Come on, stop seeing that. Baby Mama.
Speed Racer was number 8. Maid of Honor, number 9. And Forgetting Sarah Marshall rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Coming out this weekend, if you're looking forward to the movies, Kung Fu Panda. And was it a curse there by accident?
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. And You Don't Mess with Zohan.
Yes,
also opening
that's
up
what I'm
weekend,
talking about.
Just to give you a little heads up of what's coming out
that
this weekend.
That looks great. Awesome.
Speaking of Kung Fu Panda, congratulations to the star of that film. His voice is the star, at least. Jack Black on the birth of his second baby. Jack had a son this weekend. Congratulations to Jack and his wife, Tanya. Gave birth to Jack Jr.
Aww.
About a week ago. I didn't hear about it till this morning. But Samuel and Jack Jr., now Jack's boys.
Jack Look at Jr. those normal names for a celebrity. Gives
I know.
Kids, by the way.
He seems normal just about every possible way.
Mm-hmm.
He does.
Which
he's
is
the coolest.
Very cool.
Doesn't really need to pull his shirt off on the MTV Awards, though. Let me just say that.
Well, he's in shape. When you got that kind of body, you want to show off, you know? It's hard to keep your shirt on. Charlie Sheen and his girlfriend Brooke Mueller got married this weekend as expected. Amongst the guests were, of course, his father, Charlie Sheen, brother, Emilio Estevez, Grey's Anatomy. Sheen. I'm sorry, Martin Sheen, what'd I say?
Charlie.
Oh, no, he's Charlie. Father's Martin. Emilio Estevez is the brother. Eric Dane from Grey's Anatomy was there, as was Rebecca Gayheart. And apparently it was a good event, and everyone had a good time until Denise Richards set Universal Studios on fire in protest.
Was that her?
Which I think was really out of line.
Wow.
She did not show to the wedding, by the way.
Oh, okay.
The kids were there, but she did not attend. So probably made everyone breathe a nice sigh of relief.
Yeah, sure.
I saw a little bit of that episode that you saw last week of her reality show. Boy, is she. Boy, do you want her to. Jeez, I wish. Man.
It's unwatchable.
Well said.
Yeah.
It's just awful.
But the parts you can watch, you hate her every moment of her own show, which is not something that makes for compelling television.
Is there anyone else on it?
Her dad, her long-suffering father, who's living with her now.
Oh, that poor person.
And her sister.
Her 19 assistants.
Yeah.
Which she needs for a career that's going nowhere. And her 9 cats, 17 dogs, and 3 pigs.
Wow. I did want to see the pigs knock her over and eat her. I did want to see that on the show, but unfortunately that did not happen.
I think they're saving that for sweeps.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Lindsay Lohan was in the ER this weekend. No, it wasn't blood alcohol poisoning. I know what you're thinking. No, it was an asthma attack. Apparently her girlfriend, Samantha Ronson, had to take her into the hospital because she couldn't breathe. Apparently she said something lodged in her throat.
Oh.
Yeah.
Something irritated her airway.
Yeah. That's what she said.
Airtight, airtight.
She was literally airtight. Lance Armstrong is already pee-whipped under Kate Hudson's thumb.
Uh-oh.
New York Post says that the actress got lonely while she was on the set of her new movie Bride Wars last Wednesday night. So she called up Lance and said, I'm lonely. Come here and just keep me company on the set. So he had to go down at 8 o'clock at night, had to go down and hang out with his girl on the set. And he had to watch her little boy Ryder while she was off working. Jeez, grow a pair, will you, Lance? For Christ's sake, grow a pair of balls.
Wow.
Oh, I'm
wow.
sorry. Whoops, I feel bad now.
See what you did?
Since you got just the one.
Does he drive at all, by the way? Does he ride his bike everywhere?
I think he rides the bike everywhere. In the spandex outfit.
Right.
Yeah, it just goes everywhere.
Balls.
Shaves.
Balla. Balla. Balla.
Ball. 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 Patrick Swayze. He's pretty busy battling pancreatic cancer these days. Mm. However, he said he's also angling for a career comeback.
Tricky. Okay. That'll be tricky to do.
He's got a new TV series called The Beast. And he's hoping that it will be picked up by A&E, the new drama. However, the president of A&E says that the pilot is phenomenal. However, they haven't made a final decision yet on Patrick Swayze's new series. Well, maybe if the guy's at death's door, no disrespect intended, you don't want to order up a dozen episodes of a new show and put out that kind of money.
Maybe just order up two.
If you're not quite sure of the health of your star, so you're not going to hold off.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. And George Clooney's looking more handsome than usual, if that's possible. Star Magazine claims that George has had veneers. Just put some veneers on. Says it makes him look years younger, according to Dr. J. Jonathan Ebb name.
Thank God. He's getting pretty shaky. Like,
I know.
George Clooney.
I'm glad he's finally doing something to help his appearance. Because how much longer do you expect us to look at you?
I'm kidding. Got to look away like every time you see him.
He probably got them done well, probably went to the right doctor to get them done, because a lot of those Hollywood stars that put the veneers on look just awful.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
So big and too white and too fake.
Remember
Hillary Duff?
Hillary, yeah. Chicklet teeth. Her teeth blew up. Mm-hmm. Her teeth were swollen for years after that event. I don't know what they did, but they really...
Your teeth swelled.
Well, hers did. Something happened. Hers has a bad reaction to some painkillers or something. Today's celebrity birthdays... Strokes guitarist Fabrizio Moretti turns 28 years old today. Nikki Cox.
Oh.
From Las Vegas, of course, and also the wife of our very own Jay Moore is 30 years old today. Justin Long turns 30. Zachary Quinto. You know him as Siler from Heroes, but
He's
soon to be seen as the young Mr. Spock on the new Star Trek motion picture. He's 31. Wentworth Miller from Prison Break is 36 years old today. Wayne Brady is 36 years old today. And Dana Carvey, Kevin and Dean, you were just talking about the Wayne's World, hilarious Wayne's World sketch.
Yep.
That was on the MTV Movie Awards.
How happy was Dana Carvey to have his phone ring for the first time in since 2000?
He has also got his own HBO comedy special coming up soon.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Career he's presenting some comedians that are funny?
It's him, man.
Hired some young talent that's going to go up there and tell jokes?
He is performing his cutting-edge stand-up comedy, and I, for one, cannot wait for it to be over. He's 53 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
So last night, of course, on the MTV was the MTV Movie Awards. They'll be showing that a bunch. If you missed it, you'll have another opportunity to check it out. And I was really surprised, Mike, in watching the red carpet and also watching the show, how few of the MTV stars were there.
Yeah.
Like, where was your friend Spencer, for instance? I know that's one of the things you were most excited about, getting out on the red carpet to talk to Spence.
They were there. None of them did the red carpet. None of them did press on the red carpet. I saw Spencer and Heidi.
Too big a deal?
Yeah, I guess
those
so.
Those people?
And wow. It was so funny because those are the same people who were begging to talk to me last year.
Oh, sure.
And now I can't get Lauren Conrad to even look at me.
Yeah.
How
that's
about
unbelievable.
That?
Unbelievable.
Tila? Was Tila there? I didn't see her at all.
100%. I got to tell you, I saw her in the audience. She is fugly.
Yeah.
She's not just
she's
ugly.
She's getting worse.
You look at her and you go, what happened?
Yeah.
Did people think she used to be hot? Remember when she was like the number one download or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
She had more friends than anyone in the history of MySpace.
Oh, that's what it was.
Very popular, yeah, back then. And she did look better. She has turned alien-esque since then, that's for sure.
Fugly.
She's fug.
Yes.
I was just surprised. Now, you did get a chance to talk to Adrina, right?
I did,
Adrina Patridge from The Hills, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't hear your interview, but I did see her being interviewed by the person that was doing the official interviewing for the red carpet for MTV. Kelly Stoltz is her name. She's a former contestant on America's Next Top Model. She was doing the interviews of the celebrities last night, at least some of it anyway. So she brings Adrina from The Hills out, and this is the kind of hard-hitting interview. Let's hear how a pro does it, Mike, before we head into the clips that you have from your time on the red carpet as well.
And right now, at the Gibson Amphitheater, I'm here with Adrina from The Hills. Adrina, how are you?
I'm good.
You look fantastic.
Thank you.
By the way, she sounds so stupid. That's the beautiful thing about
her.
And Lisa, how do you describe her? You, I think, came up
she's
with the best
rabbit.
Way ever.
I know
she
that.
She looks like a rabbit. She's got little rabbit teeth and a tiny little button upturned nose. And it's so funny, this Kelly Stoltz interviewer person, you can tell she's interviewing Adrina, but she doesn't ever want to give Adrina a chance to give any answers. If Adrina has anything to say, we'll never know, because she instantly cuts her off every time she starts to talk, which I think is a good point.
Yeah. Now, one of the things I know the MTV audience always looks for at the Girls of the Hills, you know, is what you guys look for on the carpet, like how you look, and how'd you come up
do
with
you
outfit?
Like,
I do. I think
you know, I saw this dress and I loved the color when I tried it on. I loved it even more. Right. So this is it.
And I got.
That's how is that a story?
That's a great question and great answer.
How is that a story?
How'd you pick this dress? I liked it.
Yeah.
And then she moves on.
Gotta ask. Now, we all want to know. There's some friction in the Hills cast. How are things going with you and Lauren right now?
You know, things are okay. We're just really busy and kind of going in different directions, so we don't really get to see that much of each other, but it's all good.
All right, and you have actually made the jump from TV to the big screen.
Yes, exactly.
Congratulations
Thank
on that.
Thank you.
You're Into the Blue 2.
Into the Blue 2. I just got back from Hawaii a couple weeks ago, and it was one of the greatest experiences I've done, and I...
It's one of the greatest experiences she's done, by the way.
That is true.
That is nice.
I hope to do more. So
fantastic. Have an amazing job tonight. And Tim, back to you.
What does amazing job tonight mean?
Amazing
fantastic.
Job.
Amazing job tonight.
Putting on that dress.
I guess.
Doing what?
What's Into the Glue 2?
Into the blue.
Oh, all right.
Into the glue. Yeah. I wish she were into the glue. She's got more rabbit face than horse face. She could be into the glue. Yeah. Anyway, that's how the pro handled Audrina. Who'd you talk to and how'd it go for you?
Why do you have to play something so good right out of the gate? Now I'm going to look bad.
Yeah, no
now
kidding.
I'm going to look bad.
How can you look good?
Oh, you know, it's tough to get the good people a lot of the times out there on the red carpet. But right when I got out there, I talked to a friend of the show, Mr. Jon Favreau.
Oh, fantastic.
Awesome. And I know Kevin Smith is the official decider.
Yeah.
Okay, but I didn't really have much to talk to Jon Favreau about besides Iron Man. So, but I decided to use Mr. Favreau to break a couple to help solve some of the debate we've been having about both Sex and the City and Adam Sandler's new movie,
okay.
You Don't Mess with the Zohan. Half of the people here want to see Don't Mess with the Zohan.
Yeah.
Right.
The other half
are
think
repulsed
it looks,
by it.
Think looks
it
ridiculous.
Looks awful.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Favreau just came from seeing it, so
okay.
Here you go.
I saw Adam's movie.
You did?
Yeah, it was fantastic.
There's actually huge debate within the Kevin and Bean cast of whether or not it's going to be funny. So coming from your mouth, it's officially very funny.
It is, yeah.
What is your take on men going to see Sex and the City?
My wife went to see it. She said there's no men allowed. I didn't know that. You know, they lost me when they showed the full frontal male nudity on the show. I don't feel comfortable in a crowd because you never know when a guy's going to unzip his fly and show you his junk. I feel funny around a bunch of ladies seeing that kind of thing. I'll watch it at home alone, but I'm out waiting for DVD.
Lube up, grab the poppers, get the DVD.
You said it, not me.
Very cool for you to come and talk to me.
He's talking about yoked, by the way. What's going on with Jon Favreau, man? Is he going MMA on us? What's the deal?
I think so. He's a guy who he seems to fluctuate a lot, where it looks like he's been hitting the gym nonstop for a couple months, and then he'll just go on an eating binge. Former K-Rock employee Carson Daly was walking down, and he wasn't really doing any press, but I was going to – I hit some time where I didn't have anybody else to talk to, and I wanted to know how it was for him to come back to K-Rock about a couple – you know, it was 2 months ago.
You filled in for Jed?
Yeah, and I wanted to know how that was for him to come back into his old stomping grounds.
It was awesome. I really did everything I could to get kicked out of the building. I mean, I came in with as much alcohol as humanly possible. I literally had, like, salespeople that I've never met before come in and puke and leave, and I want to thank Beer Mug especially.
And I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Yeah, well, thank you, Psycho Mike. It was great to be there. You know, I mean, I love the radio station, as you well know. And when I worked there 40 years ago, I used to drink and smoke in the studio, and it was a debaucherous time. So I'm doing what I can to bring that back to K-Rock.
Good for you.
You got to do something a little more than bringing alcohol to get kicked out of this building.
Yeah, no kidding.
By the way.
Just ask Jed. Do you guys know who Cisco Adler is?
I know that he has big balls.
Yeah.
That's all I know.
Yeah, he's a producer slash musician.
Balls.
And he had a picture leaked on the internet about a year ago, and Kevin is right. He has mutant balls.
Balls.
Huge, huge balls. And he was walking down the carpet with the 3-6 Mafia.
Excellent.
Which I know is like Mad Libs.
Sure.
And I decided to talk to him about his genitalia.
Excellent.
But a lot of people have become very familiar with you because of your gigantic balls. You might have the most mutant large balls I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. All I can say is thank you.
Big balls.
That is Crunchy Black from the 3-6 Mafia.
That was Crunchy Black?
Really? No, that was Cisco talking, but at the end he decided to add in, big balls.
Balls.
Now, I mean, I know Cisco Adler and Carson Daly aren't exactly A-list.
No, that's strong.
But there are A-list people there. They just decide not to talk to people, especially like radio people.
That's the way it goes on the red carpet, which is why Beat and I never do it anymore, because you sit there and the people you want don't have any interest in talking to you and don't have to. So they just walk by. And then the people you don't want
that you don't even know.
Right. Stop. I want to talk.
The heavy hitters tend to just show up, look good, and walk right by you. Sure. But I try my best to get their attention and come over and talk to us.
Right.
Here's a little sample of the, you know, condensed of about 20, 30 minutes of me doing my best to talk to some of the heavy hitters at the MTV Movie Awards.
Lindsay! 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 Lindsay Lohan! Diddy! Diddy! I want to get kicked off your boat! Lace me, Diddy! Make it rain! I watched you pee on the internet!
Nice. That'll get him.
That's all I got.
Did that get him?
Yeah.
I watched you pee on the internet.
Lindsay and Diddy, by the way, did a somewhat humorous bit where she was sort of playing Hillary Clinton and he was sort of playing Barack Obama. And they were arguing over who gets to open the envelope. I mean, it was
not funny at all. That was the worst.
It was the worst of all the
compared
presenters.
Compared to the rest of the comedy on the show,
I don't know.
It was passable.
There's a professional skateboarder who had his own MTV show a while back. His name's Rob Dyrdek. Kevin, do you know who that is?
I do, yeah. He's the guy whose name I mispronounced every time when he was in here. Yeah.
Very funny guy, very talented guy, very nice guy, and a friend of the show. He came up and talked to me. We didn't really talk about, you know, that whole disaster, though. So
of course not. Yeah.
Events like this have to be pretty enjoyable for a guy like you. I mean, you know, probably just rampage through the ladies.
I don't, you want to know what? This is nerve-wracking for me, you know what I'm saying? And if I'm going to try to run through ladies, I'm going to try to do it on the low.
You know where the best place to go is? The international reporters.
Oh, yeah?
That's what, like the Italian broads and the chicks from Mexico that are coming, they're so hot, and they seem to be liberal with their sexual ideas.
Well, of course they do. They're foreign.
Hey, remember when my boss called you Rob Durden for about 3 hours straight?
I love that. I love that so much. I love the fact that I just didn't say anything, and then it just kept riding and riding. Like, I just love it.
You made the whole thing gold. It could have been just, like, one little slip-up, but you made it a legendary moment.
I'm glad that I have that opportunity to share that with those guys, because it is funny.
You started off with Meaty, then the Mini Horse. Last time I talked to you, the idea was a yoked-out rabbit, right?
Still exploring it right now, trying to get one imported from Germany right now. But I want at least 65 pounds. If it's not 100 pounds, 65 to 100, then what good is a rabbit? I can't have a normal-sized rabbit, you know what I mean? So.
No, you cannot. Well, good luck. Only in Germany.
Not only, but of course in Germany.
The home of films and yoked-out rabbits.
Exactly.
Yoked Out Rabbits, by the way, is a good band.
They are. Yeah. They're good. They were going to play last night. They couldn't make it. So we're about to wrap things up, and I see the biggest man ever walking down the carpet. Who is that? And as he got closer, it's Lamar Odom.
Oh, ooh. You must have died.
Oh, I was like shivering. And he was cool enough to come and talk to us. And here is some tape about, you know, with Lamar.
First off, congratulations on being Western Conference champions. And you're on your way to the finals. How do you feel about that?
I mean, the town is buzzing. We're buzzing. You know, everybody's happy and proud of us right now. It's a great time for all of us.
What do you think about the Celtics? How are you going to prepare for them strategically?
They got a great team, great rivalry. Just going to go out there and play hard, man. You know, play our hearts out. Try to bring it back home for the city.
You guys, after the game, you obviously shower together. Who's swinging the biggest stick on the Lakers?
Oh, no way. No way. Yeah. Well, I never look down. Head is always up.
Are you champ of the sausage, Lamar? Admit it.
My head is always up, bro.
All right.
All right. Wow.
There you go.
Why would we ever send Psycho Mike out?
Well, clearly you expect that from Psycho Mike. When he thinks about the Lakers, all he can think about is how much he'd love to be in that shower.
Are you getting
the biggest stick?
Are you getting that on SportsCenter? I think not. I think not.
Nicely done.
That band Paralyzer, of course, my porn name. So I'm always happy to see them. They had to get my permission to use it, of course, but I'm happy that it's been so successful for them.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that. It was very nice of you. Yeah. All right. Condoleezza Rice, of course, is the Secretary of State, and she was in Stockholm, Sweden. For an international conference on Iraq.
Okay.
She was staying at a hotel, and Kiss, the band, was staying at the same hotel for a gig the next night.
I'm a little bit surprised that somehow the Secret Service would allow Kiss to stay at the same hotel as the Secretary of State. Just seems like you're inviting trouble. Yeah. Too much debauchery.
Apparently they met. They had some, I don't know exactly what happened, but apparently, I don't know if Gene has to meet her, she has to meet Gene. Somehow, she and Gene Simmons met up.
Wow, you think she almost wouldn't know who he was.
You would, right?
Yeah.
But she did, apparently.
Oh, wow.
So we've got Kiss frontman, I'm sorry, not frontman, but bassist Gene Simmons on the phone. Good morning, Gene. Oh, that doesn't sound good, does it now?
Hello?
Gene, can you turn your radio down?
Oh, of course I can. Hold on one moment.
What are you listening to? That's a crappy show.
I don't know what's going on. Hold on one moment.
All right, sorry. It'd be very cool if you could get that to stop.
Wow. It's like the tomb of history. Would it help to hang up a call back, or that won't solve the problem?
I don't really know what is happening here. Omar is in the room.
What do you think?
I know. That's what I did, dude. That's what I did. Like that.
Still happening?
Yeah. Still happening. Thanks, man. Thanks for your help.
Gene, do you want to run down the hall and just come in the studio and talk to us?
Is that possible?
Okay, yeah.
I'll do that.
Why don't you just come in?
I'd rather he didn't.
Just come into the studio. That's fine.
It's all the same to you.
No, that's a good call, B. That's a good call.
Now, a lot of people may be wondering why we're calling Gene Simmons from KISS on the phone if he's actually just down the hall.
He prefers it that way.
He has
I
an office.
It that way.
Lisa, he has an office here at K-Rock.
He does. He has an office.
Sure.
Hey, Gene Simmons from KISS. How are you?
What are the chances I'd be in my office here at K-Rock?
Wow. Very impressive.
Didn't realize. I don't know what's wrong with the phone system, but...
Well, you know, you've got to understand you're running a very low-rent business around here.
That's correct.
I can help you with that.
Yeah, I'm sure you can. Yeah.
Well, listen, Gene, if it was so long ago, now you've forgotten why we called. Kevin was telling the story about the surprising meeting of you and Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice at a hotel, I think the Sheraton Hotel in Stockholm, Sweden, a few days ago, and you guys actually got a chance to chat for a while.
It was... incredibly serendipitous, but Ms. Rice, Secretary of State Rice, happened to be in the same hotel as KISS. Mm-hmm. And she was actually a big fan of me.
She was.
And,
she is.
We set up a meeting.
So did she set up a meeting to meet you?
She talked to the concierge at the hotel. We met in a boardroom.
Okay.
Downstairs at the hotel, and I did the Elka Bong.
I don't know what that is.
What is that?
Followed by the Scroonicorn. Then the punctured lung.
That doesn't sound good.
These are things you did to Secretary Rice?
That's right. That's what we discussed, and then I performed these acts on her. Do you know the gap in her teeth?
Yeah.
Yes.
No longer there. I filled it.
Oh, gee.
Wow. Disgusting.
Oh, am I?
All it says in
the article. Why don't you pipe down while I'm talking?
All it says in the article is that you gave some autographs and some backstage passes.
Of course.
Is that code?
I'm joking. I wasn't sexually active with the Secretary of State of the United States of America. I actually have tremendous reverence for her and
you
her
do.
Position.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. At least, speaking of reverence for the position, I have great reverence for the soggy snorkel.
Really?
Would you like to try
that
with Mr. Simmons?
Mm. Well, now, I saw that Secretary Rice's favorite KISS song is Rock and Roll All Night. Of course, everybody knows that song. It's a standard. It's a classic. Is she familiar with some of your other work? I mean, was she actually a KISS fan, Gene?
It didn't really seem as if she was very familiar with KISS music.
Sure.
It was just a chance coincidence. We were in Sweden promoting our newest product, doing preliminary business investigation type things for international business of our new product, the KISS Swedish Meatball. That's why we're
the KISS Swedish Meatball.
Yes, there should soon be in a Grossos freezer.
Okay.
Everybody
kidding.
Look out for that. By the way, speaking of meatballs, Lisa May.
Yeah,
got a couple,
we can't really
beefy globes.
Can't really
like
go there.
Globes.
It's funny because in the article it says you were there to play a gig. It doesn't say you were there to do any business.
We did do a small paid gig at in.
Wasn't
in
small. Sweden. It was a sold out show here. According to the article.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
For us, it was small because we used to
I'm just checking.
But, you know, KISS are not really, you know, we've traveled the world. We were not really familiar with Sweden due to political reasons. I don't really quite understand. We had to travel into Yugoslavia, the former Yugoslavia, and then take a motorboat up through the Baltic Sea. It was just something. Speaking of
that
motorboats, Lisa May.
That was a long way to go for motorboat.
Really was.
Yes. Well, I'd like to motorboat your beautiful little traffic teats I see over there. It's good being in the studio. I can look at them.
So you did or did not bang the Secretary of State? I mean, that happened or didn't happen? Did you take her back to the room?
We played a show. We did our business meetings. Luckily enough, though, we were very, very – we had a lot of time on our hands to see some of the landmarks in Sweden.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Let me
okay.
tell you right now that the Royal Palace in Stockholm is unbelievable. The Royal
it's
Palace –
it's a beautiful building,
it's absolutely fantastic. Lisa May, speaking of palaces
– yeah.
I'd like to take a look at the Pink Penny Palace if you get a chance.
Really?
All right.
Yes. Can he leave now?
He can. It's a shame we had to bring him in. Isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Actually, don't do that again.
We played our live show. You mentioned at the
yes.
at a place called the Stockloster Slot.
Okay.
Yes.
Lisa speaking May, of slots.
Yeah, I know.
Are you going to just poo-poo my comedy already?
Yes.
Ezra Tharman.
We are delighted. He needs no introduction. He is a friend of Trinity. He is a brother beloved. He's a preacher par excellence. He is a prophetic, powerful pulpiteer. He is our friend. He is our brother.
Ezra Tharman.
Yay!
Wow. Big intro today,
that's different.
Ralph. Well done.
New intro.
I didn't know he did all that. I didn't know he's a puppeteer of the pulpit.
Pulpiteer.
Oh, I didn't hear.
Puppeteer.
That's the
puppeteer of pulpits, by the way.
You hate to follow the politics, Kevin, but the new brouhaha over yet another preacher that got Obama in trouble. He had to resign from his church over the weekend. It was a big, big story. That guy that you just heard, by the way, white guy.
Wow.
White guy talking like that in a black church. He's
that's
got guts,
scary.
Huh?
How many preachers did that church have that can get him in trouble?
This guy was a guest lecturer, is what he was showing up for. So anyway, so Obama stepped away from that. It's 653.
Obama said, no more for the church for me. I'm done with that church.
Yeah. He's done. Yeah, they're dead to him.
I'm an asshole of that church. I'm in the middle of election. These people keep mouthing off. F that church. That's what he said.
Seems to me, though, had he not done that earlier when he heard all that stuff, seems like it'd be a little more realistic than doing it now.
Well, I think what
this
his
can't
point,
be the first time that's all happened.
I think what his point was is now it looks bad for him, no matter who gets up and speaks to that church, whether they have anything to do with Obama or not, whether he agrees with it or not, all of a sudden it reflects poorly on him.
That's so true.
He used to be able to blame the reverend, right?
Sure.
Right.
Jeremiah Wright, right?
One off. You know, this guy sometimes gets out of line, but the church, you know, really overall is a good organization, does good work. Now they've had this guest speaker who's gone off, and he's like, okay, enough with these people.
Yeah. So, good times. Yeah. Coldplay coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. They'll be live in our studio, fresh off their hot appearance at the MTV Movie Awards last night. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Monday. What's going on?
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? As we do every Monday morning. Sex and the City.
Yeah.
Debuted. Pretty good numbers.
Yeah, great numbers.
If you think $55.7 million is something to write home about.
Oh, wow. Dude, lame.
What's going on, people?
We found a movie that women really, really like.
Oh, dude, God. Lame.
That isn't stupid.
Lame.
Speaking of Sex and the City, I want to thank Tracy from Santa Monica, who was the first of many listeners to send me Sarah Jessica Parker Looks Like a Horse.com, the link to that site. It is
very funny.
The greatest website you've ever seen, people.
Awesome.
Sarah Jessica Parker Looks Like a Horse.com, and it is nothing but a series of side-by-side photos of Jessica and horses in similar positions with identical facial expressions.
Wow.
It's remarkable.
That's good work right
on
there.
On many, many levels, and it made me laugh significantly all 100 times I looked at it over the weekend. So thank you, Tracy, for sending me that. But for the rest of you, got that. Got it. Appreciate it. Got it.
Yeah. So you need the link?
Glad you thought of me when you saw that, but still, now I'm aware of it and have seen it and I'm good.
So Ralph,
thank you.
At krock.com.
Saying don't need it.
Don't need it.
And don't email and ask what's the web address for that Sarah Jessica Parker Looks Like a Horse.com site you guys were talking about. Don't do that either.
It's just that simple. Sarah Jessica Parker Looks Like a Horse. Then you put a dot and then you follow that with COM.
Bean at krock.com.
See how that works. Or you can ask Bean.
Information.
Second at the box office this week, it was Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, $46 million additional dollars this week. And just when you thought everyone had possibly could go see that movie, they still make almost another $50 million. The Strangers was number three. Iron Man was number four. The Chronicles of what? Narnia. Prince Caspian, number five. What Happens in Vegas was number six. How's that still in the top ten?
I don't know.
Baby Mama was seven. Speed Racer, Maid of Honor, and Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Rounding out your top ten at the box office this week.
You're not allowed to make fun of What Happens in Vegas, Lisa, and then support Sex and the City, for God's sake. As if
Sex
one is good
City
and the other one is bad.
Is good.
Oh, dude, lame.
The other movie, bad.
You get the feeling they could have shot 2 hours and 20 minutes of a piece of poop.
Yeah.
And named it Sex in the City, and women would still flock to it and or defend it.
And review it well.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's just nice.
It's really good. Then you could have Sarah Jessica Parker Looks Like Poop.com. You could have that website, and that would be very fun. Birthday girl Nikki Cox. You know Nikki Cox, wife of our pal Jay Moore. Mm-hmm. According to Star Magazine, Jay and Nikki are trying for a baby. Couple's trying to get pregnant, according to Jay. They talked to him about his new TV show, Project Gary. Which sounds very funny. We should talk to him about that next
Project
time.
Gary?
He's got a new TV series called Project Gary about a divorced guy trying to get his life back together again. So, could be very funny.
I like her.
Speaking of babies, congratulations to Jack Black and his wife. They had their second baby this past week. Jack Jr. is his name. Little fella. It's two boys for Jack and Tanya Black. Samuel is their other son. And apparently, Jack was tired of starting to get some sleep again.
Yeah.
After his 2-year-old was starting to sleep through the night. So he decided
he
needed some more sleep deprivation, so he had himself another.
I want him to be my dad.
That'd be
awesome.
He'd be cool.
Jack Black were your dad.
Every day would be like School of Rock.
That'd be cool.
Just fooling around, just having a good time.
I like it.
Yeah. We almost missed out on what could have been the greatest TV moment of the season.
Which show?
AbsoluteNow.com tells us that Michael Jackson was supposed to appear on the season finale of American Idol. He was going to surprise everyone by showing up and performing on American Idol, but according to sources, he pulled out at the very last minute, citing a major case of stage fright.
What?
And said that if he had gone out there, everyone will hate me, he said, and so he said he couldn't do it.
I don't think everyone would hate him. They would laugh at him, but I don't think they'd hate him.
Yeah.
But since when does he have a problem on stage? Hasn't he been on stage his whole life?
Not for a long time.
I think now he's got it in his head.
I do too.
He's honked up because so much has gone down, so much in the past couple of years without him being on stage with his failed music career that I think now he's really rattled.
I think he doesn't want people to look at him anymore, which is why his get-ups to hide his face are becoming increasingly more bizarre. He just can't stand people looking at him anymore. So the worst nightmare of his would be being on stage and having thousands of people looking at him.
The biggest TV show in the world.
Yeah. Right.
I think he just couldn't take the pressure.
Good times.
That would have been so funny.
That would have been.
Him and if George, he came out in the burka, it would be the best.
We wheeled him out in a wheelchair. You could have sang, wheel are the world.
Oh, no. See what I did there?
Oh, no, you didn't. No.
I did it.
You know what, Jimmy Buffett? You proud of it? You standing by it?
I said it, I meant it, I'm here to represent it. You guys know Jimmy Buffett, right?
Of course.
Of course.
Margaritaville. That's what you think of when you think of Jimmy Buffett.
One of the
right?
Richest sure. men in the music industry.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
That's shocking.
He has a few, as far as I can tell, top 10 hits. Margaritaville, probably one of them. Come Monday, maybe another one. Mm-hmm. But not a big, big recording artist by any stretch of the
imagination. What year was that? But he tours like a mofo, and he sells out every single ticket in every single venue around the world that he wants to play.
How?
I mean, he can print money because it's a show, it's a party.
Fans, his group of yeah. fans, the Parrotheads they're called, are so hardcore that every time he tours, it is one of the largest selling tours of every year that
wow.
he tours. He's right up there
that
with the biggest
like
moneymakers.
That song is like 30 years old, right?
Easily.
Wow.
But the guy is insanely wealthy. And to prove the fact, he has just purchased Donald Trump's casino in Atlantic City. He's going to turn it into the Margaritaville Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City. What do you think Jimmy paid for the failing enterprise of Donald Trump there in AC?
$29.99.
It was marked down, yes, from 30. You're right. Yes. $315 million. That's
he's
cash
paid.
Money. That's cash money on the barrelhead.
He's that wealthy?
That was in a suitcase. He just plunked it down.
He's got a chain of restaurants, too, called Margaritaville. I think
he's got one in Vegas.
Very successful.
He's got one in Vegas you can't get into.
What?
A line waiting to get into Margaritaville.
Are people
in Vegas.
Aware he's the Margaritaville guy?
That's what I'm saying, and yet look.
What's going on? There's so many people from his era that had big hits that everyone could just care less about.
He has tapped into some summertime fun thing
that's
that
right.
people just respond to, and they go and they wear big shark hats and drink margaritas in the sun and listen to him.
Deal with the devil. Deal with the devil.
A lot of it's like the Grateful Dead thing, though. I mean, Jimmy Buffett shows are really an excuse to just get blitzed, and everybody
is.
It's New Year's Eve when you go to a Jimmy Buffett show. So,
but still,
he's hard.
He also, by the way, and this you know, this is a smaller portion of the empire, but the guy has written 10 best-selling books, number one New York Times best-selling books, too.
What?
I mean, the guy's
are
enormously
aware
fiction
of who
and
this
nonfiction,
is?
By the way.
I didn't Jimmy know that.
Jimmy Buffett.
Jimmy Buffett.
Jimmy Buffett.
Why is he successful?
He
has a good oldie.
Inexplicable.
It's about it.
Well, he has a lot of songs that that you would recognize, but,
no, you wouldn't.
You know, Why Don't We Get Drunk and Screw and songs like that. I mean, he's got a lot of songs that have kind of were marginal hits, too. Cheeseburger in Paradise, yeah. But Ralph's right. He's just tapped into, hey, it's going to be a party. Come on down.
Just saying, $350 million. He had pulled out of his pocket and bought himself a casino.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's living. It's living large.
That's not right. A lot of talented people can't make any money.
Ain't that the truth? Today's celebrity birthdays. Fabrizio Moretti from The Strokes is 28 years old today. Nikki Cox turns 30. Justin Long, also 30. A very talented actor. And Drew Barrymore's current paramour, 30 years old today. Zachary Quinto. You know him as Siler on Heroes. Soon to be Mr. Spock in the new Star Trek movie.
Did you say it was Fab's birthday and Justin Long's birthday? Both
Drew
Barrymore
right.
Paramore's.
Didn't make the connection.
That's right. A
Paramore's
weird
birthday?
Oh, nice. Gilligan. Wentworth Miller from Spring Break. Looks like a very bad Spring Break to me when I watch that show.
Prison Break.
It's all gloomy and dark. Everyone's head shaved. I don't see any girls. I haven't seen any bikinis. This is the worst Spring Break show I've ever watched, I said to my wife as I was tuning in once again to the failed show that is Spring Break on Fox.
It's Prison Break. They're breaking out of a prison.
What?
Yeah.
You're Lisa?
It's Prison Break.
She's trying to help. She's so cute. She's so cute.
She's considerate.
Wayne Brady is 36 years old today.
God.
By the way, big draw in Vegas, Wayne Brady show. Sold out all the time.
Really?
At the Venetian. Yeah.
This is inexplicable.
I know. America just perplexes me to no end.
What the hell?
That's the point of today's Showbiz Beat. And Dana Carvey, who once was famous.
Yeah.
He was in Wayne's World. Mm-hmm. He was on Saturday Night Live, had the world by the ass.
Yeah.
And then he made Master of Disguise, and the rest is all history.
Dave's trying to tell me that he loves Wayne's World and hopes they make another movie. What about that?
King How Mexico's are we gonna stop that? Taste is just horrible on every level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is Dana Carvey's 53 years old. Today I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
First, though, is it Kevin's people? Is this your favorite story of the whole week?
Well, I like practical jokes, and I like to pay people to do it. That's good times. When we were at a wedding, I tried to pay money. Our sports guy tried to pay him $100 to go up, and when the bride was dancing with her father, to go up and tap on the father's shoulder and cut in and dance with the father. I thought that'd be funny.
But now, do you ever do this stuff yourself, or do you always just pay other people to do it so that you don't actually get blamed for it?
Okay. Both. It depends, yeah. But I like to cause trouble and then have other people get thrown out.
Sure.
I have had my time of getting thrown out. But these guys, this cracks me up. There's a guy named Matthew Craig Pillars, who's 22, Jack Brent Nicholas Kiefer, who is also, I believe, about 22, and Elliot Tuleha. And they were drinking at a house in Grover Beach on January 18th, and Tuleha made the mistake of passing out.
Oh, okay. You should
Where's
never
Grover
do
Beach,
that
by the way? Is this Florida by any chance?
I don't know, I imagine.
We talked Friday about how anytime a story like this comes out, it almost always happens in Florida for some reason.
So he's passed out, and they routinely drank and would play practical jokes on each other, such as shaving their eyebrows, etc. So one of the dudes says, let's do something. I'm going to look for rotten fruit to put in his socks. Not a very good prank, really.
No. Okay.
The other guy found a bottle of cologne and poured it onto his pants at his crotch, and he said, that's funny. And the other guy said, that's not funny. If you lit it on fire, that would be funny.
Oh, no.
So one of the men then lit his groin on fire where he had poured the cologne. The dude that was passed out woke up. All of the men attempted to extinguish the blaze. He had to go to the hospital. He had third-degree burns on his inner thighs.
Oh,
I think third degree is the worst you can get, right?
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
And second-degree burns on his testicles.
Oh, God.
The guys face a maximum of 10 years in prison.
Really?
And by the way, when you're stamping out a fire on somebody, you're jumping up and down on it. You're beating on it. I mean, you're basically just pounding this dude's groin to try to get the fire out.
Yeah, the charges are battery. And I've never heard of unlawfully causing a fire, but that's the other charge.
You should have heard of that before.
You
never
I know. That. Listen, I'm a pyromaniac.
You are.
I know. But that's that. But for the grace of God, there go I, is what my parents used to always say. That's so lucky it wasn't me.
Yeah, no kidding.
But these dudes are in real trouble. I mean, these are felonies.
Oh, my God.
You know, and all the times you've been around, Corolla and that gang lighting their farts, it's a miracle that nobody's pants ever caught on fire.
Yeah, I know. I hear you, man. That would have been awesome, but it didn't happen. But we're going to look for people who tried to play pranks, because let's face it, especially when somebody passes out. I mean, you really have a duty.
Yeah, it's an obligation. You cannot just let somebody sleep it off. You've got to at least take out a permanent marker and draw a penis on his face. I mean, at a minimum, you've got to do that.
Doing nothing is not a choice. So you have to figure something out. And you pour cologne, and you go, this is going to be funny. And you're drunk, and you go, and then you light him on fire, and you go, woo.
And he goes up like...
Then he wakes up, and you go,
fireworks.
And you start stomping on it. Everything goes south. They call the police.
While you're calling at 1-800-520-1067 with your practical jokes gone wrong, let's talk for a moment about that instant where they made the decision to go ahead and light the guy on fire. In their mind, the way they saw it playing out ahead of them is just that there's going to be a little bit of flame, and it's going to, no pun intended, it's going to peter out, right?
Sure.
I mean, it's going to burn for a few seconds, and it'll be funny. The guy will wake up, and it'll freak him out, and then it'll be over with. They didn't anticipate that it was going to – you know, they didn't think because they weren't thinking clearly. It was all about the moment.
Yeah.
They didn't think this is going to burn through the fabric and start burning his junk and his skin and what if we can't get it out, or what if it burns longer and hotter than we anticipate. You don't really plan for that.
Well, those aren't the kind of questions you ask when you're drunk. I mean, really, let's be honest. When
you're drunk, you go get a bucket of water just in case.
No. Yeah. You light it and you laugh and you think it's the funniest thing. And then all of a sudden in that instant, you go, oh, no.
Yeah.
Instant sober.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's not good. So they face
like lighter fluid.
10 years in prison. And they're going to tell Bubba that they lit someone's groin on fire and Bubba will leave them alone forever.
I don't I'll be very surprised if they get anything other than a warning or, you know, pay for the hospital bills or something like that, because clearly the guys were all friends. It wasn't malicious. It may have been stupid, but it's not like they were. I mean, even the victim himself in the interview afterwards said, I don't think my friends were trying to hurt me. They just exercised poor judgment in setting me on fire.
Second degree burns on his inner thighs. I mean, third degree, second degree on his balls. Oh. That you do not want to burn your balls.
Ever. You never do.
That's a pretty good piece of advice right there. All right, we're going to take some calls here in a second. Let's start with Gus in Glendora. 1-800-520-1067. You tried to play a prank and it went horribly wrong. Gus, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing?
Good.
Good. Good. All right. We were in high school, and back then, you know, we used to go partying, and so we all together got a couple of guys together, and one of our friends, we didn't know he was an illegal, but one of them knew, so he said, why don't we go to TJ and just leave him out there, see what happens? We ended up leaving him out there. He couldn't get back in.
So you took your friend to Tijuana.
Yep.
And he was illegal, so he couldn't get back into the United States.
Yeah. So ever? He was passed out. Yeah, it was it's about, an hour and a half.
He was passed out.
Oh, my God.
Out. Yeah. Dude. He was passed out the whole drive down there?
Yeah, somewhat. We're all pretty much toasted, so, you know. It was
so he went to sleep in America. Thank God he made it. And then he wakes up and he's back in Mexico.
Yep.
That's pretty sweet, by the way. That doesn't sound like a prank that went awry. That sounds like a prank that unfolded exactly as you intended it to.
But he couldn't get back in. How long?
You know, from now on, I heard he came back after, like, a week later.
Yeah, that's BS. We need to build a wall. You haven't talked to him since then?
No, we talked to him. I mean, he hates us with a passion.
Were you friends before?
Yeah, we were cool. I mean, just like six of us it is, so he has to hate all six of us.
Good times.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. That seems like a great prank.
Yeah, you wouldn't have thought of that happening.
The moment that you do it. All right, we need to take a break. We'll come right back. We have some great pranks gone wrong. 1-800-520-1067.
Right now, we're talking about pranks gone wrong, a story. It turns out, by the way, that, what did you say it was? Grover Hill or something like that is in California, of all places.
Oh,
a couple
good.
Of guys thought it would be funny to throw cologne on a passed out friend's junk and set it on fire. The friend ended up in the hospital with third and second degree burns. It's a prank gone wrong. The guys are facing up to 10 years of potential jail time. Jeez. But we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Your pranks that have gone wrong. Let's start with, let's talk to Ronald on line 5. He's in East LA on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Ronald. Prank's gone wrong. What do you got for us?
Good morning, Kevin and Dean. Lisa May.
Good morning.
Hi there.
So it was after my last high school football game, and we all got pretty hammered off of a couple bottles of Jaeger and some beer, and we did the classic, you know, shaving cream in the hand and then tickle the face. So, you know, then the guy wipes his face, but we substituted shaving cream for Icy Hot, and it totally got underneath our middle linebacker's eyes, and he's like 6'4", you know, like a little over 250, and he was really pissed, and his eyes stayed swollen shut for like a week.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's really scary now because we still talk to each other. We're still, like, real close, and he's a sheriff now. So
no kidding.
Yeah, I think he's plotting his revenge. And,
payback
is
a bitch, Ronald.
Yeah,
no kidding.
Hey,
drive the speed limit and no more going through his town, dude.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ronald.
You know what that's like, Lisa, and you're expecting it on your face, it ends up in your eyes. I mean, it's got to
dear God.
And it burns so much.
Sure. Got to, yeah.
All right, let's go to PJ, who is calling us from Long Beach. Good morning, PJ.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Prank's gone wrong.
Okay, well, this didn't actually go wrong because we wanted to do it, but my buddy Jeremy, we were looking for anything to mess with. Our buddy Wank was passed out. Mm-hmm. He opened up some super glue, like in a little green bottle,
Right. Pan
off, and started dripping it in his ear.
Super glue in his ear?
Yeah.
Well, you mean you meant to do that? You knew it would.
Well, we knew it would, you know, stick to his ear and be like a bitch to get out. But he just, you know, it ended up going too far in. The next day, he went to the hospital, and they had to remove most of it with surgical picks.
Oh, God.
Now, it's funny. This would be an outstanding time to bring up the differences between men and women again. What do women do when somebody in the group at the party or whatever, Lisa, is passed out?
We make sure they don't throw up and die.
Hold their hair.
Yeah.
Put them in bed.
Put them on
tuck them in.
Put a blanket on them.
This guy put super glue in his ear.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You rule.
I'm sure he still has it in there today.
He must, yeah.
Thank you, PJ. You probably can't hear. What? What's that? What? All right. Let's go to David, who is calling from Corona. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
What'd you do? Prank gone wrong.
Well, when we were about 16, we realized that my friend's antique fire extinguisher actually still works. So we filled it with water, and we were doing drive-by soakings. We'd pull up next to somebody in a pickup truck and just hose them down.
Right.
We thought this was good times.
Of course.
Sure.
What could go wrong with that?
Well, so here it is, like 2 in the morning, and we see some guy just riding his bicycle along. And so we pull up next to him and hose him down. He falls over like a sack of potatoes, and we go, oh, man, let's get out of here. We take off. A couple weeks later, I'm, like, at a friend's house, and I see this guy walking by. He's got a cast on his arm with a pole that holds it out. You know, like, and
oh,
he's limping along. And I go, man, what happened to that guy? He says, well, Some kids hosed him down with a fire extinguisher. He fell over and he cracked his skull and broke his arm.
Oh, no.
I wasn't mad enough to say it was me.
David's the a-hole of the day.
Yeah, no kidding.
Nicely done. Thank you.
Let's try Mike in Diamond Bar. He's on line three. This one sounds like it was a great plan to start with, but went horribly awry, which is what happens with some of these pranks. Hi, Mike. Go ahead.
Morning, guys. 2 years back, a bunch of buddies and I worked at Home Depot, and one of our buddies graduated from the police academy. He left us, and so all of us went to his house for a party, got completely wasted, and I and one of the guys invited was, the token gay friend.
Mm-hmm.
And so I came up with the brilliant idea of playing a prank on the guy. We threw him in his bed, told the gay guy to go in there with him, took a bunch of pictures. He wrote on his ass, Brandon was here. And little did we know, the guy who was graduating, his dad is a hardcore old-school Mexican dude, and came in, found us, and wanted to beat the living hell out of us. Chased us out to our cars. Everyone in the family started throwing beer bottles at us.
Oh, my gosh.
Started hitting the cars. It was bad news.
Wow. And,
so we were just glad to get the hell out of there. We thought it was over, and then the next day, the guy came into work, the guy's dad, and was looking for all of us.
So the old school Mexican guy, it was his son that had passed out that you put in the bed with the gay dude.
Right, exactly.
That's fantastic. That's great.
Oh, was
great.
Kill
you really
you.
Do have to take into account the parents of whoever you're doing it with,
I guess,
because
so.
That's not a guy you want to piss off.
Oh, yeah. Guy's still a good friend, but his dad hates us. We're not allowed around the house anymore.
Excellent.
Yeah. Well,
thanks for the call, dude. Boy, we have so many great ones. I wish we had more time. Let's talk to our former intern, Nicole, who's on line seven. I wondered if we were going to get a single woman to call during this segment, because it has been all dudes. But, Nicole, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my dear. What's up?
Missing you guys terribly.
Well, we miss yours as well.
Yeah, exactly. I told David that I had pictures of my boobs willing for you guys, but I guess he just doesn't want to send them to
Well,
you guys.
He's bad.
No, but before I started working at Kevin Bean, I was in a horrible car accident, and I broke my ankle. It was terrible, but when I finally recovered, I had a rental car, and I thought it'd be funny to call my dad and be like, oh, I got in another car accident, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But my father has a heart condition where his heart, prematurely just stops. And they put a defibrillator in there, and it shocks your heart. It's like the paddles that doctors use to bring you back to life.
Right.
And he was at work when I called, and it shocked him so much. His heart had stopped. His defibrillator went off, and he had to stay in the hospital for 2 days so they could set his heart back to life.
You told your dad you got in another accident, and his heart stopped?
His heart stopped. I would never in a million years think it was that, terrifyingly shocking that my father's heart would end up stopping. I would not have done it.
Hey, Dad, remember that time when your heart stopped because I said I was in another accident? Wasn't that funny?
Yeah.
Nicole.
No. Nicole could have killed her dad.
And every family thing. Like, they don't even let me talk. I'm, muted.
That's the way it should be. That's the way it should be, Nicole.
Yeah. I think they made the right call. Thanks for the call.
Kevin and Dean, really.
Good to talk to you again, Nicole.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
That's how you want to start your day right there. That's how you know you're listening to K-Rock, is when you wake up to a song about date rape. All right, the band Coldplay will be here after the news at 8. You want to talk with one of the founding fathers of professional gaming in North America, Kevin?
Yeah, this came up last week when Ralph was flipping through the channels and saw Andrew Siciliano and Stryker, by the way.
Yeah, that's right.
Hosting the draft for the Championship Gaming Series. They actually have a draft like football.
Right.
And they have a Los Angeles team.
Who knew?
And we were like, what? So we thought we would talk to, Jason Lake, who is apparently the general manager of the L.A. Complexity.
Wow.
Jason, good morning.
Thank you very much for having me on, and I'm not 16, and I don't live in my mom's basement.
First of all, how old are you, and where do you live?
I actually am 37, so I'm getting a little old, and I currently live in Los Angeles. I just moved from Atlanta this summer.
With what relative do you live?
With what? My wife, a 4-year-old daughter, and a 2-year-old son. It's going to be a linebacker.
Wow.
And all of you live in your mom's basement. That's amazing. Now, Jason, let me get some background on you here. You have a degree in finance, and you also have been to and completed law school. Is that right?
Yes. I actually had a real estate law firm in Atlanta with 5 locations, but my real love was always for video games. So I made a business out of it and sold out and moved out to here to sunny L.A.
So you start the L.A. Complexity. How do you do that? How do you find the league?
long story made short, basically, I used to play Counter-Strike. When I got out of law school, I had a few months off and fell into video games again for the first time in years. And built America's, you know, arguably, top gaming company. And then when DirecTV and his partners came along, said, hey, we're going to build the NFL of video games, I sold my company to them, and here I am.
Wow.
Now, nice. is this brand new, this Championship Gaming series? Is this the first season that you all have been up and running?
We're actually in the second season now, so we're still a baby. And, you know, we're trying to learn our way and feel our way through the entertainment sector. But, you know, it's a new sport. I mean, people laugh at us all the time. I heard your segment with Andrew. And
well, let's not call it. I mean, let's not call it a sport.
Absolutely, it's a sport. I mean, you know, back in the 1800s, when coal miners and railroad workers saw pro baseball, they're like, "What? You're going to pay a guy for hitting a baseball? Are you kidding me?"
Right, but the guy had to actually physically be able to hit a baseball. You just have to be fat and drunk on the couch to play games.
You don't sweat, right?
Isn't that the great thing, though? You can be fat and drunk and still hit a softball at the park every afternoon, right?
I guess, but it's hard to call this a sport. How does the team compete? Does everybody do it from their mom's basement? Do you guys get together?
During the off season, we compete online, but during the live CGS season, we compete here in L.A., live on DirecTV's Channel 101. You know, pretty much it is a little bit of mom's basement, except we own houses around the country where my players train, and they're all, you know, 21 years old. You're not going to see the fat, bored 16-year-old playing for us. We're the pros.
Jason, how did you go about recruiting your team? Obviously, there are a lot of people out there who consider themselves excellent gamers. Did you hold auditions and then hire people to represent the complexity?
You know, the Championship Gaming Series has drafts where as long as you're 18, anyone in the world is, you know, welcome to show up to their region's draft. And at that draft, the general managers can watch different kids play the games and, you know, just like you would any sport, like a tryout. And after that, you know, our first season we had to draft the Playboy Mansion and, you know, we pick our talent from there.
Which games do you play in competition?
We play Counter-Strike, which is like a shooting game, DOA, a fighting game, Forza, a racing game, and FIFA is soccer, as us Americans call it.
FIFA 08, yeah. When you get together, you have a team against team, like 5 people or 10 people play in a row? How does that work?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting the way we do it, and we're the first league in the world to do this. We play cross-platform. So all the different games play each other, but every point counts towards the entire franchise score. So, you know, at the end you're going to see scores kind of like, you know, football or not really basketball, but like 22 to 24, 28 to 26.
Based on the success
of every round for every game counts.
I got you.
Okay. Now, do your competitors get paid to play, or are they playing to win some sort of prize at the end of it if they take the whole tournament?
No, every member, once you get drafted onto the Championship Gaming Series, it gets a salary, and plus there's millions of dollars in prize money around the world given out. But every gamer, I mean, our gamers make between $30,000 and $100,000 a year.
What?
You know, playing video games.
Are you serious? What?
I mean, that's almost as good as being a famous DJ, you know?
$30,000 to $100,000 for playing video games? That's the best!
$100,000 a year for flipping an Xbox controller, brother. You can't beat that.
What?
Welcome to LA.
That's crazy. I love that.
Let me throw this out there, Kevin, because I'm with you. I mean, I'm mocking Jason 8 Ways to Sunday about this being a sport, and I don't think poker is a sport either, but look at how far and how fast that sport has become as popular as it is, and millions of dollars in prize money from people who are basically just sitting on their asses and drinking and playing cards. I mean, it's really not that different when you think about it.
I mean, absolutely. You watch the Olympics, and you see these people shooting sniper guns at little tiny targets, and they're in the Olympics. I mean, what is different? You got the hand-eye coordination, you've got the aim, you've got the calm, you've got the timing. I mean, a sport, you know, some people will disagree. Personally, I think it is, but even some people in gaming don't call it a sport.
Of course, because that's ridiculous. But but 30,000 to 100,000, and then you guys have like a Super Bowl? You have like playoffs?
Yeah, we have playoffs all around the world, and the World Finals are going to be this summer right here in L.A. Towards the end of July. And, you know, everything is broadcast live on DirecTV and then shown around the world to, you know, its corporate partners, Star and Sky Satellite. You know, we have the outreach to hit 350 million eyeballs, and that's a lot.
Well, certainly, yeah. I mean, you won't get anywhere near that, but yeah, the potential is there.
Hey.
So there are a bunch of teams.
I don't like Gary Mantle being back
on. Yes! Whoa, he comes at me with a Mantle.
Cut you down.
Right. So you've got the Los Angeles complexity. There are teams in this country alone, in New York and in Chicago, in the Carolinas, San Francisco, Dallas. Then you got clubs down in Latin America, in Europe, around Asia. I mean, this is just one of those things, and this happens from time to time more often than we'd like to admit on this program, where there's something out there that exists that has gotten kind of big, kind of fast before we've noticed about it. But apparently, you guys are well on your way to making this thing a success.
Yeah, you know, we're doing our best, and I'll be honest with you. All you have to do is read any business paper. Video games far outsell Hollywood. Video games
are
the number one sale around the world.
We know. We saw Grand Theft Auto.
For a new digital era, I mean, you got your BlackBerry in your pocket, right? I mean, for a new digital era, we need a new digital sport. It's just logical, and that's what we're trying to do here.
I just want to double-check a statistic that I heard, Jason, because this can't possibly be true. I heard that you pay competitors between $30,000 and $100,000 to play video games.
Mark it down to blue ink, brother.
What? That's awesome.
Well, I got if a challenge for you guys.
Yes?
You guys ever play any games? Nope.
Yeah?
I will bring my fighting guy over. It's called DOA4. If you can get one round on him, I will wear a monkey suit on live national television. If you can't, you have to say complexitygaming.com every day on your show for 2 weeks. Are you game?
I don't know. I have to think about that. That's not one of my better games.
I'll bring him into the studio. Come on. All your listeners are here.
$30,000 to $100,000.
Video game kid. You can do it.
This is a dream.
Why don't you play Grand Theft Auto in the competition, by the way, since that game is so popular?
I would love to. That game is so funny, like shooting hookers and stuff. That's good.
All right. Well, how do you determine? Is that game going to be a part of it? I mean, isn't that the number one selling game right now?
It really is, but it's not really made for competition.
Oh, okay. All right.
Gotcha.
All
right. Well, listen.
Guys playing softball on Sunday.
We're out of time, Jason, but this has been fascinating to hear your story. Jason is the founder of the LA Complexity, and their website is complexityla.com. And the North American season, by the way, for the Championship Gaming Series begins very soon, coming up on June 16th. So good luck to you, and I suspect we'll talk to you again, Jason. Thanks for being on the
Thanks
Kevin Bean Show.
Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you, man. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beast.
Before I get to the showbiz news, you know I love to give you a chance to appear on television if you're so inclined every once in a while. And I've got a casting notice here that I'm very excited about. Only because we love bad here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Flavor of Love 3?
Better than that.
How can it be?
Wait till you hear. You know what's coming back to television? The Gong Show.
Oh, yeah.
Remember The Gong Show?
Oh, yep. Yeah.
Chuck Barris used to host.
That was Psycho Mike's favorite show, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Were
yeah,
you
and Chuck Barris was my hero growing up. I loved him more than anything.
It was pretty much a cavalcade of horrors of people who thought they were talented. Getting up on stage and competing. It was a talent show.
It's pretty much a show of Armenian comedians.
Right. It's all the freaks. It's the people who think they have talent who don't, who have bizarre and unusual acts.
He was on it, by the way, the Armenian
He was.
Oh, you have to tell me. I've seen that footage. If you ever see his documentary, you'll see him appearing with his wife. Wasn't he with someone else on the show?
I don't remember.
What did they do?
He played the recorder and told jokes and did his usual shit.
He did what he does. But the good thing about the Gong Show is if you're bad, they hit the gong and they take you off stage. I mean, that's the good part about that.
Right.
When was that show on and when was it popular back in the day, Ralph?
Late 70s, early 80s, I guess.
I think so.
Yeah. Anyway, it's returning to Comedy Central.
Fantastic.
Dave Attell will be hosting.
Nice.
Which should be pretty good. Anyway, they're looking for unique and or insane novelty acts for the show. The casting call will be this Wednesday, June the 4th, at the Comedy Central Stages, which is 6539 Santa Monica Boulevard in Hollywood, California.
Kevin Bean, this one thing I forgot to tell you, Kevin Bean. I need a woman.
Yes. Don't tell on Gong Show.
We need to send,
Here's his chance.
We need to send all of our people down there.
Yeah, really.
We could staff that whole first couple of seasons.
You know, it's interesting, Ralph, because all the talents that used to appear on the Gong Show, now they all have their own programs on the air. I mean, you know, if you're a comedian, you go on Last Comic Standing, and if you've got a juggling act, you go on America's Got Talent. If you sing, you go on American Idol. But it sounds like the Gong Show is going to be a place for all of it at the same time.
Yeah, but where do you go if you play a saw, you know, or...
Good point.
Or play music with your hands farting with the, you know, the manual.
That's the dude we got to get on there. He'll rock.
So if you've got a unique gift or talent, you should check out the Gong Show Auditions. For more information, you can go to gongshowauditions.com.
What's that website?
Do not write and call me and say, hey, what's that Gong Show Auditions website?
Ralph at krock.com if you have questions.
Gongshowauditions.com. gongshowaudition.com. And don't say, I typed in gongshowaudition.com and it didn't go. Try adding an S. Just play around with it. Experiment. See what you can come up with.
Because
you're a big
touchy
boy now. Well, we get ridiculous questions about websites all the time.
That's
now
why I don't check email.
Oh, I see.
That's the best way to go.
So anyway, there's your heads up for the Gong Show editions if you want to go. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Sex and the City debuted at $55.7 million.
Oh! That is amazing.
Yeah.
That's disturbing. It's not amazing. It's
this is
wrong.
Wow.
Something's wrong.
This is Sarah Jessica Parker's biggest box office performance, by the way, since The Godfather. You'll recall the famous scene where they pulled the covers back and her head was there in the bed.
They cut her head off?
Yeah. Yeah.
See, because her face looks like a horse, Lisa.
Right.
Even more so than Seabiscuit. Remember when Tobey Maguire was riding her
that's right.
In Santa Anita?
Yeah,
in the big race?
Why are you bad, America?
By the way, Sarah Jessica Parker looks like a horse.com, another website you should check out. It's very entertaining. It's uncanny. It really is.
It's not just a joke anymore. Now there's proof to back it up.
Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, $46 million this weekend, made it number two. The Strangers was number three. Iron Man, number four. The Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian, came in at number five in the top ten this weekend. What Happens in Vegas was number six. Baby Mama was number seven. Speed Racer, Maid of Honor, then Forgetting Sarah Marshall, rounding out the top ten at the box office this weekend. Breaking news filed today out of New York. You know who Tatum O'Neill is? Academy Award-winning actress Tatum O'Neill?
Of course.
Certainly, yeah.
Daughter of film actor Ryan O'Neill. Was married to John McEnroe, the tennis champ, for a while.
Right. She was on Rescue Me.
She was on Rescue Me.
Few seasons.
She had a legendary battle with alcohol and drug abuse.
Right.
She wrote a memoir called A Paper Life, where she chronicled her struggles with addiction and how she conquered them. Well, she was busted in Manhattan for trying to buy crack cocaine today.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, there was a sting operation going on, and she got popped. And this is my favorite part of the story, according to the New York Post. She told the police that the drug buy was for work. I'm researching a part.
Yes.
I'm doing this because I'm going to play a role as a junkie, she told the police.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So we'll have to wait and see. But the 44-year-old actress in trouble with the law.
Mm. I hate white people.
That blew my ears out.
That was too loud.
That was down just a little bit.
You know how she is. She gets fired up.
Yeah. I'm playing a junkie, so I had to try to buy crack.
Good
to
try.
See what that is like.
Sure.
I wasn't going to use it.
No.
I was going to flush it right after.
Going through the process of buying, so I knew how to do it.
You know, I see her on, I don't watch any of the shows that she's on, but whenever I see her interviewed, which is fairly frequently for some reason on the Access Hollywood one, she always seems very articulate, very lucid, very sharp.
Yes.
I never would have pegged her for being a, it's a real surprise to me to hear you give that story.
Hmm. Today's celebrity birthdays, Fab Moretti from The Strokes is 28 years old today. Nikki Cox, a very beautiful and talented actress and wife of our pal Jay Moore, she is 30 years old today, as is Justin Long. He's the Mac from the PC and Mac commercials.
Right.
Sure.
You may know him from the most recent Die Hard movie as well. And he's also dating Drew Barrymore, 30 years old today. Zachary Quinto from Heroes turns 30. He's not Asian. Why are you doing
that? Not even a little bit.
Might have been a chance.
There's no chance.
I don't know him.
You know the guy.
Maybe
he's
Sylar.
He's Sylar. He's what? Spock. We've had him on our
Heroes.
Show. He's 31 years old today. Wentworth Miller from Prison Break is 36. Wayne Brady, also 36 today. And Dana Carvey, comedian, actor, is 53 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Yeah, they were all yellow. How long did you wait? Nobody said it was easy. I never meant to cause you trouble.
You threw yelling at our guest, Kevin?
Well, he won't put on his headphones.
He doesn't want to hear himself.
I said, put on your headphones, and Chris threw his headphones down.
He says, no.
It's like watching your life
Just before you die. How are you
that
doing?
That was, good. Of course, a medley of great songs from the band Coldplay. They are back with a brand new album called Viva La Vida or Death and All His Friends on June 17th. Yes. Triumph for performance on the MTV Movie Awards last night. Ladies and gentlemen, Johnny and Chris from the band Coldplay have joined us here on the World Famous Hero. Good morning,
How are you doing, guys?
Why are you repulsed by your own music?
No, that's the wrong word, man. But if you were made to, you know, sniff your own armpits...
I do that regularly.
Okay, well, bad example.
I got you. You've heard enough of those songs. I got
you. No, no, no. It's not that. It's
not that.
When you hear things you've done, I'm sure it'd be the same if someone forced you to listen to your best moments of your show.
It's interminable.
It's painful.
It's like hearing yourself on the telephone.
It is horrible, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Do you still think of things like you would change?
100%.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
When you play six songs, that's, you know, all I hear is six things we didn't get quite right.
That would make you nuts.
Well, that would be hard to finish a CD, I would think, too, because you would tinker and tinker and tinker and think we can make it better. And then how do you say, done?
It's over, yeah.
We have a tinkering limit.
You do?
A time limit? A deadline, probably.
A tinker deadline.
Yeah.
Johnny, are you the same way, or is Chris just damaged? Do you feel you have
Chris
the same problem listening to your own
music? Than me.
He's worse than you?
Yeah.
Really?
I can
really?
Sort of listen to it. But, well, you know, you have more of a problem.
I do.
but guys, there has to be some song that you can listen to and go, you know what? We nailed that one. That's good. That's exactly what we hoped it would sound like. That must happen at some point over the course of, you know, 50 songs or whatever you recorded as a band.
It happened on Bohemian Rhapsody, but I realized at the end of it that it wasn't us after all.
Really? And you went, wow, that was great. Oh, that wasn't us.
We hit that one out of the park. But it was just a joke.
That one sounds a lot like you guys.
Yeah, it does.
I can see how you
think. You know, we're thinking of a lawsuit.
Now, it's always fascinating for me when I see who we get to come in bright and early on the Kevin and Bean show of the band. You can always tell who the smart guys are in the band, and in this case it would be Will and Guy, and who the dumbasses are that get up, drag their asses out of bed and come into the show, and that's you two guys. But we are grateful to see you.
Well, it's very nice to see you too. Even though you're never here.
Right. That's true. Never there. That's true. It is interesting that to have you two guys here, because you were the
you
first two.
You two is here?
No.
Cancel this.
You two guys.
Bring them in.
Get these idiots out. You guys were the first two members of Coldplay. You guys kind of, the band started with you two, right?
Well, we're really the important ones.
Sure, of course.
I mean, the other two are really just hired hands.
Of course, yeah.
You know, replaceable.
Anyone can do that, right?
Anyone can do that stuff.
No question about
you know that.
Just hitting stuff.
Who is the replaceable one out of you three?
Any of us, really.
Yeah, that's how radio is.
Probably me the most.
Do you think so?
Chris, let me tell you the truth. When we're down, a guy like Kevin was out on Friday, there is not 1% of our audience that notices when one of us doesn't show up. I mean, truth be told,
it's
not
really
1%.
It's really a bummer because you go, hey, Friday, people are going to notice I'm not there. Nope, not a bit.
Well,
don't notice a bit.
Well, the first time that we went to the Grammys, Johnny picked up a Grammy and he went through to the... whatever room you go, what was it? The sort of post-winning room.
It's like an interview room.
Yeah.
And someone came up to you and said, these sandwiches are delicious. Can I get another one?
They thought we were the catering staff.
So people don't notice when we're not there either.
Yeah.
Okay.
Someone asked me if I was a taxi driver yesterday as well.
Really?
Really? For real?
Truthfully, yeah.
You should have taken him somewhere.
I know.
That would have been awesome.
I don't have a car.
Oh, that's important, I guess. Why did they think you were a taxi driver if you didn't have a car?
I don't know.
Because he was smoking and complaining about politics.
Well, there you go. That's a good enough reason.
Well, guys, let's talk about the new record, because it certainly has been long awaited. For us, it seems like it's been a very, very long time in coming. It probably doesn't seem that way for you, because you had to do all the work on it. I mean, this is probably, you know, you've been working nonstop for the past couple of years, probably.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, good talk.
Thanks for stopping by.
Why does it take you guys so long? It takes some bands just a second. It takes other bands a while. It takes some bands a long time.
Well, the
truth is, when you become like a little bit successful,
right?
Because we're English, we get a little embarrassed by that, so we like to disappear for a while.
Okay.
And
I wish everyone would do that.
Really?
You know what I mean? Yeah, that's a good thing.
And so that's all we've done is, you know, often after we speak to you, we go to other countries in the world and do the same thing for a while.
Sure.
And then we finish, and then we always have ideas. So then we like to just lock ourselves away. But we never really stop.
And then you tour.
But you are
like
gone long enough from the public eye to make us miss you, which I think is, and I mean that sincerely as a compliment.
Nice.
Like Metallica, we had Metallica headline a K-Rock show a couple weeks ago, the K-Rock Weenie Roast. And man, were we excited to see Metallica, because they haven't been on stage in several years. If they'd been last year, it wouldn't have been quite as big a thrill.
Have you seen their film?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't
Therapist? Yeah.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, it's really bizarre.
It really helped us. We were having a tough time on our record in,
really?
The, in December.
And you said, guys, sit down and watch this.
It was like,
let's get a guy with bad sweaters and a ponytail. See if he can save this album.
So it really helped us out, that film.
Who's the troublemaker in the band? Is it you?
It depends in what sense you're talking.
The most trouble. Who causes the most trouble of any kind? Let's ask Johnny.
Chris.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
What is with you today?
Well, it's right here.
Always go with the guy who's not here, by the way. That's
he got up at the crack of dawn. Insulted me live on air.
Have there been any rough patches in the more than 10 years now that Coldplay has been together? Or has it been, considering the amount of decisions that you have to make, has it actually been relatively smooth sailing for you guys?
No, last week was as about as rough as it gets.
Last week?
Last week, yeah.
Why last week?
Because...
It's well, you know, if I are going to be honest with you, as it's just the three of us.
Sure.
well, the period before you release a record becomes more and more terrifying every time you do it. Because
you're done and you have to wait? Is that it? Yeah.
It's like waiting for a very beautiful girl to call you back.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know?
So you're done and you're
you
not
know
sure how
it's right.
Of course.
Kevin does.
Well, they usually call me, but...
Or a very handsome man.
No, I'm just kidding.
Of course.
When was the last time you waited for a handsome man to call you back?
I don't. He calls me every day.
Nice. So you guys are just a little bit freaked out by, we don't know how it's going to be accepted, but we have to just wait and see.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you just put it out? Why do you have to wait till June 14th?
That's a great question.
June 17th, sorry.
I think because...
just put it out today.
We've got no answer. We've got no answer.
Put it out today.
But let me ask you, as a follow-up for that.
I think he has the choice.
I'm not actually my own boss.
Put it out today. And he can just start selling them.
They're not?
I'm not the boss of me.
All right.
But Chris, let me ask you this. When you put Violet Hill up on the website and you got over 2 million downloads, mm-hmm. and then you put out the Viva La Vida and it's a huge song, it's number one or number two or something like that on iTunes, it's been rapturously received.
Yeah.
I'm just saying there's been enough early indications that you have nothing to sweat, that the album is already shaping up to be a big, big hit. What do you have to worry about at this point? Now it should just be, you should just be lapping the track right now and just, waiting for the applause.
Well, okay. As we're in the spirit of honesty.
Yes.
We did the MTV Awards yesterday, the movie awards, because we were up for best movie.
You opened for the Pussycat Dolls, right? I saw that.
Okay, so you're going to exactly my point. First, you just ruined my story. But
I'm so sorry.
We can edit that out.
Because we live in such a visual age, we got there 2 days ago and we watched the Pussycat Dolls rehearse. And I just thought, maybe there is just no need for bands like us.
Wow.
Because they have great songs.
No, they don't.
They look good,
but I don't like... I like a few of their songs. The song they did last night was you could throw it away.
When I Grow Up. You didn't like it?
I liked looking at them.
I thought they sounded
good. That's about it. But I think we still need...
You're just trying to be cool, man.
I'm serious. I think they're hot, but I don't...
When I grow up, I want to be... we all felt like that.
Yeah.
So you're wondering if there's a place in the world for a need for an actual just four guys standing on stage just rocking out.
Yeah.
I think we need both. Yeah. Without all the visuals, without all everything
else.
That's
what we, and believe me, we work very hard on weight loss, but we're never going to look like that.
No. We wouldn't want you to look like that, to be honest. Yeah.
It was if this makes you guys feel any better, it was the high point of the show. It was a terrific performance last night.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, it was really, really good.
You guys are very sweet today. I thought you were going to be quite...
You haven't said much though, Lisa. Quite what? You thought we were going to be quite what?
He's so shy.
Well, it's not...
He's like, oh,
it's not that he's shy.
Has he always been nice to you guys? Always?
Yeah.
I think so.
Chris has a really hard time taking compliments. He doesn't know what to do. He feels bad.
It's the English thing?
Well, we owe you a lot, you know.
What do you owe us?
We just feel grateful. Well, we wouldn't be here without you. Well, we probably would, but we
totally
wouldn't be here right now. You wouldn't be out of bed right this minute.
We would still be in the spa with the Pussycat Dolls.
Sure, of course. All right, we need to take a very quick break.
Why?
Our friends,
why do we need to take a break?
Because we have we're not the boss of us either.
Let's sell some stuff.
Yeah, Johnny is here. Chris is here. The band Coldplay. The album is coming out on June 17th. We have much to discuss. It's been a while.
It's my favorite part. Okay, go.
We wrote that.
You did, yeah.
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 That's got the beginning of the next song on the album on it.
It does? That's what the fade
is? It's not supposed to have that.
Okay. That's a bad edit then.
Now we know.
Wow. Who knew?
Hey.
It goes into the next song.
That's the voice of that guy in Coldplay, and he's in the studio along with that other guy at Coldplay. Chris and Johnny from the band are here. The new album, Viva La Vida, is going to be out on July.
Whoa!
June 17th.
No, Kevin. Viva La Vida.
No, that was our last album.
That was your last album. Sorry.
That's my brother, Ricky.
My bad.
Now, that is a, that's the name of a painting, is that right, by the famous Mexican painter Frida Kahlo? Is that where the title comes from?
Yeah,
okay. That's right.
Yeah, that's exactly
right. And then what's the rest of that? Or Death and All His Friends? It's the most awkward album title. I don't care for it, and I want to explain what it's supposed to mean.
Well, it's two album titles, Beam, and coming from someone called Beam.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You can, you know, keep quiet about titles.
But it's no Parachutes, you know? I mean, it's true. it's a little unwieldy. What are you trying to say here?
Okay, this is we did this for people like you who, if you don't like the first title, Viva La Vida, you can call it Death and All His Friends.
Okay.
It's a choice thing.
Call it whatever you want.
We knew that a lot of people would say the Ricky Martin thing.
Sure.
So we said, well, let's give it another title. So it's not really the whole title in one. It's two. It's a choice of two.
I think it's the first time I've seen,
right?
Okay, yeah.
I think it is the first time that I've seen an or in the title. I mean, where you have A or B. Yeah,
I like
they have a choice.
Yes.
It does kind of make sense if you're uncomfortable with the Spanish part of the title.
Mm-hmm.
There's something for you English speakers as well. I like where you're going with it. That's good.
But, you know, now, we thought it was time to have an album title that we know what it means, but
no one else.
No, everyone else would just think it's rubbish.
That's great, because then you can assure being asked about it for years.
Exactly.
And you love that.
It's sort of reverse promotion.
Right, sure. Really? Now, it seems like, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm high, but it seems like this song is a quantum leap forward for the band, just in terms of how much is going on in it. It seems like this song has just so many things happening at one time. All the different parts, it splits off into different sections and weird instruments and going crazy over here and weird over there. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Which part do you mean exactly?
No. It seems like it's a much more complex. It's like this is your day in the life, you know? It's so much more complex than so many other Coldplay songs we've seen over the years.
Like a Swiss Army song. Do you know what a Swiss Army knife is?
Like a Swiss Army knife.
Like a Swiss Army knife song.
Yeah.
I'm not following any of you.
Okay.
But does that make any sense, Chris, or am I high?
No, it does make sense.
It's supposed to be a compliment, I think.
Yeah,
yes,
I can never tell. I can never tell.
I know. I think that was supposed to be a compliment.
Okay. Well, it's very sweet
Thanks,
to say. But I wanted to say one thing. When was the last time Living La Vida Loca got played on K-Rock?
It's been a long time.
Right, so we did a good
thing.
You
did a good thing, yeah.
See? Secretly.
Is there something...
It is complex, by the way. But it's also very simple. It's only one chord sequence. And that's the first time we've done that. So that it has the same chord sequence the whole way through the song, which we always want to do.
And what part is complex then?
I don't know what Bean's talking about.
I think it was complex.
It seems busier because of the changes in tempos. Like it kind of starts off slow and then kind of goes wild fast. You know what I mean? I mean, again, I like it very much. I think it's a terrific song.
Thanks, man.
It just, to me, it looks, I mean, I look at the two songs that I've heard so far from the new album and I go, there's a band that's not just repeating itself. It's not just resting on its laurels. It's really trying to do advance their music to the next level. It's the impression I got. The rest of the record could suck, but those two songs I've heard so far, to me, it seems like you tried hard.
Yeah, you're just wrong. We just phoned it in.
You have to be aware of that, though. You have to be aware of what everybody expects and kind of not repeating yourself. Do you throw out songs because they might be good songs, but they remind you of former albums? Or no?
Yes.
You do?
All the time. And guitar parts and drum bits and kind of everything.
And often we write songs that sound like somebody else too much. So we have
like
to
another
throw
band?
Out. Yeah, often we write songs that sound like... Well, we had a song
Pussycat
that
Dolls? Sound.
Well, that would be fantastic.
We also have a song that looked like them.
So we had a song about 2 weeks ago that sounded like a Madonna song. So we had to get rid of it because it was like law suitable.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying.
It was called Burning Up.
It was almost called Burning Up. It was called Turning Up.
Can you send us that song?
But totally different.
But, you know, that's how we write often is we hear a song that we really love, and then it makes us feel like, God, we need to do something like that. So we genuinely try and write it, and then hopefully it turns into its own thing.
What percentage of songs would you say you begin on with high hopes, and they never make it through? I mean, is it a small... It has to be a
90.
Small... 90%. 90% goes away.
Yeah, I'd say.
Wow.
That's a lot of work.
Because some artists, they write, you know, they record 90% of the songs that they write, and then there are other artists who, you know, most of it is crap, and then a few gems surface.
That's us.
That's, yeah. That's why it takes us so long.
We're like coal miners, really.
Now, tell me about Lunar, by the way. Speaking of songs that didn't make the record, tell me about Lunar, because this is the one that a lot of people are buzzing about.
Really? Oh, because it has Kylie Minogue on it.
Well, for starters, that, I think, intrigues people, sure.
Well, we just haven't finished that yet. So
it's
we
not
might
done.
Release it next year or something. I don't know.
You said in that Q Magazine interview that's coming out.
Yes, I did.
That it will be out later this year on another record? What do you... You're not putting out another album later this year.
No, but maybe next year.
Yeah.
I think it'd be nice to do 5 albums before the end of the decade and then disappear.
Okay.
Into a cloud of cocaine dust.
Now, speaking of writing,
what do you think?
That's a good idea,
sir. You could do it.
This might be our last traffic report ever together.
Oh, that would make me so sad.
Oh, yeah. Let's say that.
You could disappear and then come back again like you always do.
Like a reunion. I see what you're doing.
Speaking of writing songs, I was reading that the other band members have veto power over the lyrics.
They have veto power over everything. We have veto power over trousers, lyrics, haircuts.
Really? I wish we had veto power over haircuts.
Is it a majority vote kind of thing? Or if one person doesn't like it, it's out?
Yeah, kind of like one person can.
But that's
got to
be frustrating.
Usually will.
Yeah. It's usually will. If that's got to be frustrating, you're going to go, well, that's good.
Well, it is, you know, but that's, I mean, that's.
But if they have
democracy.
To play it.
Yeah, exactly, you know. And so if you can convince Will, normally our drummer, who's, I don't know if you've seen a picture of him, but he can look very intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
If you can convince him, then you're probably good. And recently we've had to do a lot of, like, Will working.
Really?
Gotcha.
Do you call him ahead of time and just sow the seeds so that when he kind of set the stage?
Dave, our manager, is very good at, you know, he knows how to sort of
massage.
Gently get Will round. You know, there's a thing called MTV and they've got a awards in Los Angeles. I don't think we're going to play it, but you should check it out online because it's really good.
So you know
what's
happening.
So you have to set him up for quite some time.
Yeah, but then once Will's in, then he's in more than anybody. So that's the great thing.
Johnny and Chris are here from the band Coldplay. We're talking about the new record, and we're going to take some phone calls, if that's okay, guys, with questions from your fans at 1-800-520-1067. Far and away, the number one request and complaint and comment this morning through the email since you've been on is, where the hell is the L.A. show? I'm a huge Coldplay fan. I've been checking out the website. What's going on with the L.A. show? Well, the reason you haven't heard about it is because we are here this morning.
Whoa!
On the Kevin Bean Show to announce details.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, do your Grammy voice.
No. Okay. Just shut up.
Would you like to make the announcement in the Grammy voice, Kevin?
Why don't you shut up? Why don't you all shut up?
Hey, Kevin, don't get all... You just paid Living La Vida Loca to
us. That's true.
We're the biggest band in the world. You just insulted us to our faces.
I can't do that voice. But I will tell you that the date is Tuesday, July 15th. I will tell you that.
I'm sorry, I can't make that. I can't make that. That's not good.
Tuesday, July 15th. Tickets go on sale this Saturday.
Hey, but wait, we have to... Because we changed some things around.
Okay.
So this is... Because our production is not quite ready.
Okay.
So we had to... Now we're going to start our tour here on June the 15th.
Instead of...
Weren't you going
to
do it?
We were supposed to start in Philadelphia 2 weeks earlier, but we've got these magic balls that aren't quite ready.
Yeah, I heard about the magic balls.
Production technique.
Concerns me a little bit.
Well, it shouldn't. You should come and see them, and you know, you should never judge a book by its cover.
You have magic
balls.
By its
magic balls, right?
We on our tour, we genuinely have some magic balls.
Okay, so Tuesday, July 15th, you're going to play at the Forum.
Yes, sir.
And that's going to be the kickoff date.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Tickets
go on sale this Saturday morning at Ticketmaster outlets, like usual, starting at 10:00. 10:00 Saturday morning, and the show is Tuesday, July 15th. So you get a chance to see Coldplay at the start of their world tour before all the bugs are worked out. You get to see it when it's still raw and not quite right.
When balls may
not be
magic.
Well, no, actually, when we started, we're doing a show, a free concert in Madison Square Garden.
That's what
next
I thought.
Week.
I thought that's where you were starting.
Yeah, that is where we're starting. So Bean, once again,
wrong.
So they don't get the balls there.
All right, so the free get audience gets the slide show.
Now we got to get out of delay again.
Number two. What's with the potty mouth here, Chris?
Twice we had to get out of delay for Chris.
I just spilled my water. I'm so sorry.
Wow. Yeah.
So we're doing that show slightly differently, and it's less production. So that's it. I'm so sorry. So I just ruin your episode?
No. So we get a delay.
I'm so sorry.
Okay, so you're wrong now, and I'm right, that the first time the paid audience goes to see the show with all the bells and whistles is going to be at the Forum
Los
show.
Angeles. Yes, that's paid, right. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so you'll rip them off. All right, we got it. All right, we need a towel in here for our guest who apparently can't hold his liquor.
I know. So
I don't
sorry.
Know. He threw it on Lisa. I'm pretty happy with it.
He's in a cloud of cocaine dust.
And then we'll take your calls for the band Coldplay. Johnny and Chris are here, and we'll return right after this on the World Famous.
No, you don't like compliments.
Wake up, people.
Chris Martin from Coldplay is here. Johnny is here. I am not a huge fan of music videos that are live performances, but that one is amazing.
You are a very sweet young man.
I don't know why. It's the one where you're running through town and then you go up on stage. I love that one.
Yeah. That's what actually happened.
That's what actually happened. That's how I get to concerts.
Really? You run? Did your car leave you or what happened?
No, exactly.
Normally I get dropped like 3 miles from the venue.
And you jog?
15 minutes before showtime. And I just...
Get the adrenaline flowing.
It's a warm-up.
It's like the end of Crocodile Dundee. When she chases Crocodile down the... You remember that scene, Lisa?
That is the first scene. Crocodile Dundee reference of the decade.
You came in with a fresh Crocodile Dundee reference right on the heels of your Ricky Martin joke. I mean, this is really... You're bringing it today, Martin. You are bringing it.
Now, did you see the Young at Heart movie? Did you see that with the old people singing your song?
Oh, on YouTube?
Yeah. Well, it's a movie. It was in a theater, but it's really? On YouTube it? Now. Yes. Yeah.
I've seen it like a... Like yeah, I said, I get a bit weird hearing our own stuff because it makes me feel funny, but...
Well, this is weird.
I saw 10 seconds of it and it was... Obviously very moving.
It's very moving because this is 90-year-old people who perform current music. They do I Wanna Be Sedated and a bunch of other songs.
Right.
And they did Fix You. And this dude was supposed to sing it with another dude. Mm. And the other dude died like a couple days before. And the dude, 90 years old with an oxygen tank in his nose and stuff, sang that song. And everybody in the audience was just sobbing. Yeah. I mean, not in a bad way. It's really a moving, amazing moment. In that
well,
movie.
It's one of those songs that it means one thing coming from a 30-year-old guy. Mm-hmm. A guy's 90, it means something very, very different. And I think we have a clip from the current film, right?
Lights will
guide. Sounds like Johnny Cash.
It does a little.
You hold.
Oh, lovely. Guy's 90.
And ignite your.
I like that the choir is backing him up like with just the last
that
words like they do
great.
In a rap.
Yeah.
I would love to sing that low, man. That sounds like Johnny Cash a bit, right?
It does a little bit.
Yeah,
very much so.
Yeah.
We don't have as much time as we'd like because that's what always happens whenever you chatty Cathys come in. But we are going to take a couple of calls at 1-800-520-1067, including Alejandra, Moreno Valley Line 1. This is a question I've been dying to get on the air because I wanted to know the answer to this myself. Alejandra, go ahead. You're on with Chris and Johnny from the band Coldplay.
Good morning, Chris and Lisa.
Good morning.
I just want to know what it was like to work with Kanye West on Homecoming. Oh. And I love you.
Oh, I'm very affectionate towards you also. Well, Kanye, as you know, is incredibly sexy and incredibly talented. So you do the math.
So it worked out well.
I'm a fan of you. I saw you at Coachella.
Oh, okay, great. Well, we did that. Every time we do a collaboration with someone, it's always an accident because we're in the same studio at the same time, and one thing leads to another, and you end
That's
up.
That's how it happened. It wasn't like he called you up and said, "Let's do it." You just happened to be down the hall from one another.
It was in Abbey Road in England. And
we were playing a gig.
2 o'clock in the morning, and that's when these things always happen. You think, "Oh, let's just do something together," and then the next thing you know, you're being told it's a single and stuff. And you're like, "Well, I didn't quite finish my bits."
He doesn't seem like he would be very collaborative. It seems like Kanye would be the kind of guy who would make you do it the way he wanted you to do it.
No,
is that the case?
That's a real misconception about him.
Really?
He is so open to learning. Even though he's very sure about what's good and what he likes, he's always interested in what people think and what... That's why it's a real pleasure to work with him.
Hmm.
In answer to your question, Alejandro.
You worked with... didn't you do a similar thing with Jay-Z as well?
Yeah. Yeah. But the song...
Same thing
the song
working with the Jigga Man?
Yeah, but that was a whole different scenario. And I get cross about that because I don't like the mix of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Mm. I took all my singing off that. And then the mixer put it all back on and never told me.
Excellent. That's what you want in the mixer.
So, but I love the rapping on it.
You have a track on the new album that's coming out this month where the opening track, right? You took all the vocals off of it. It started out being a Coldplay song and then you liked it too much or what happened there? Johnny, I want to ask you because the other one's damaged. What happened?
Well, we kind of, it was a good song, but it didn't really work at the start of the album, and we wanted that riff, which is kind of our ringtone riff, to start the album, but with the big song, you know, it was sort of...
We'd like to end the decade with that song, you know what I mean? So we're just going to wait until next year to release that particular song.
When you go all Howard Hughes on us.
It sounds like the end of a decade song, doesn't it, John?
we kind of wanted a theme tune, didn't we?
It's our theme tune.
Yeah, we wanted an intro.
What's your theme tune, by the way?
What's our theme tune?
Yeah, what's your big jingle?
Probably Baby Got Back.
who writes them for you?
We have a very damaged guy down in our studio queue that writes a lot of our stuff for us. Okay. He's really screwed. I mean, he's effed up.
Really?
Yeah.
A lot of musicians are a little bit...
Yeah, kooky. Well, you got to be, I guess. You got to be kooky to be creative, but he's kooky and bad.
Really
Let's talk to Brad in Simi Valley. He's on line 5. Johnny and Chris are here from the band Coldplay. If you missed the announcement, by the way, there is now a Southern California date. We just announced it on the Kevin and Bean Show this hour, and it's going to be when? Do you have it? It's going to be July 15th. July 15th. Tickets go on sale this Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. That's brand new info on K-Rock. Brad, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Kevin and Bean? What's up, Lisa May?
Hello. Go ahead.
What's your question? You're on with the guys.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
Brad. We're just waiting for you to say something worth hearing.
I just wanted to call and talk to you guys because I actually used to completely despise you guys for I don't know what reason. And as soon as I heard that song, Violet Hill, I went absolutely nuts over it. That is probably one of the best songs I've heard in, I don't even know how long.
Oh, thanks,
and then I heard
man.
Viva La Vida, and that's just... brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Oh, that's very sweet, man. You know what? That's the kind of thing we need to hear.
That's something.
All I listen to is heavy metal and punk and rap, and I mean, you guys are just great.
Oh,
so I'm
going
to I got to run out and get off all the rest of those CDs now.
Hey, do you ever listen to Rammstein?
I love
it. Yes, I do.
Can we play some of that on air today?
Probably not.
Okay. All right, Brad. Well, sweet, man.
They do a great thing on stage where they have that gigantic penis that they spray water all over everybody.
Yeah,
that's and then, they set then they set their microphones on fire. That's
how
good.
Come you can say that word and I can't say other words?
That's a great question.
It's not on the list.
Brad, that's a very sweet thing to say.
Brad, thank you for the call.
And that means a lot to us.
That's pretty cool.
You know what, that's the coolest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Speaking of Violet Hill, that's in Guitar Hero now, right?
I hope so. That's what we wrote it for.
Yeah. Isn't that wild, Johnny? That must make you feel pretty good.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. We were playing Rock Band the other night, actually.
Yeah. Ironically, we'd be very good at Soft Rock Band, I think. I don't think that's out yet.
That one they haven't put out
new
yet.
Game.
I think we would be the number one band on that.
Could be.
Don't you think, Lisa?
Absolutely.
What do you want to talk about? I think you're very
I
sweet.
I love just listening to you.
Yeah?
I think you're so funny.
Well, that's very well.
I'm such a nice guy.
I'm getting a little...
hot under the collar?
Really? There's a real connection there. I have a question for you. You guys live in England in some junk. Do you know Rick Astley?
Rick lives two doors down from me, between me and Elton John.
You lie.
How would you know if I'm lying or not?
That's a good point.
Because it would be too much of a coincidence that I would bring up Rick Astley and that you guys would live on the same street. It's not possible.
We all live on Popstar Street.
Ah.
Which is just off Park Lane.
So you don't know anything about him.
One day you might be as cool as Rick Astley, though. I mean, that's something to shoot for. Have you ever seen anyone
obsessed with Rick Astley, though, in 2008?
Yeah, never going to give up. I heard that there was a big resurgence.
Yes, this song is coming back huge.
Yeah. Well, he's great, man. Good things will always come back.
All right. Thank you very much. And you're still married to Gwen Stefani? That's going all right?
100%.
You guys are still happy?
That's going well?
We're doing okay.
Okay, good deal.
Well, let me just one question, Bean. Do you get afraid that when you make jokes, which you do a lot, it seems like everybody likes to reprint stuff from something they heard, and they heard it wrong, and they interpret it. Do you get afraid that that type of joke is going to get out and turn on you?
It's funny you say that, because we were considering yesterday whether to do the press line awards, because we never do them.
At the MTV Movie Awards?
But we're a little insecure at the moment, so we thought maybe we need to do... But we decided not to, but we were going to tell a different lie to each one and see...
How it got out.
I'm divorced, he's getting... You know, he's got a coke addiction, just...
just whatever. See,
because with the internet the way it is, I think it would be hilarious.
It'd be around the world right now already.
Like 15 massive stories.
Please do that sometime.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Right before you disappear.
Right. Yeah. So, no, that's just the way it is, you know.
It just happens that way.
I mean, he may have made up stories that he's been telling us all hour long, Kevin. For all we know, we're the first victims of
the dupes.
His punking. Yeah, exactly.
Johnny made up a good story yesterday.
Yes, Johnny?
Yeah, it was about, what was it, about the Who.
About the Who, yeah.
Yeah.
So well, you're making a place.
You can't say that. We won't.
It wasn't a very good story.
No one will hear that. Don't worry. The new CD is Viva La Vida or Death and All His Friends.
Just call it Viva La Vida, man. Just Viva La Vida. Let's save time and okay. Let's get Bean a bit happier.
Comes out Tuesday, June 17th. The band is playing at the Forum Tuesday, July 15th.
Plenty of tickets still available.
They don't go on sale to the Saturday.
Okay, right. Well, allow me to do my thing.
All tickets are. I apologize.
All the tickets available.
thanks for coming in, guys. We totally appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having us.
We're looking forward to the CD. If it's anything like the first two songs, we're very excited.
Oh, thanks a lot, Kevin, right. Bean, Lisa.
Thanks for coming.
Ralph, it's hard to stay on time when we have a band we like.
Yeah.
Ralph is just jumping up and down.
What about the other days? What about the days you don't have a band you like?
He's jumping up and down, pointing at the clock, Bean.
We were on time.
We were on time before 6 a.m., before 7 a.m., and before 8 a.m., but we did fall apart a little bit with Coldplay in studio because they're very entertaining. We rarely get entertainment on this show, Ralph. You know that.
Ooh. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
No, let's hear. We got time for a few stories. What's going on, Ralph?
Remember we were talking about Jimmy Buffett earlier?
Yes.
Yes. How inexplicably popular he is.
Yes.
In terms of his mega million dollar tours and other restaurant enterprises and best-selling books.
All based on one song, really?
Really.
One song.
That's the one. You sing Jimmy Buffett, you think, oh, that's the song. He did that song.
Margaritaville is it. Everything else, I know he's had other songs, but everything's based on that, right?
And I was mentioning the fact that he paid $315 million and bought the Donald Trump Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City.
$315 million.
Where he's going to open up his own hotel casino called Margaritaville and become even more wealthy.
Yeah.
Right. Well, a lot of listeners wrote in and told me this news, that he's got three songs now on Rock Band.
He does?
He's in Rock Band. You can
play Jimmy Buffett.
Jimmy Buffett. You can play Margaritaville, Cheeseburger in Paradise, or Volcano from Jimmy Buffett now on Rock Band, just released this week.
Would you want to? By the way, I'm not sure how to do that.
You could probably win with those games.
I have Rock Band.
Wasted away again. How hard is that to do?
Yeah.
I had Rock Band, and I think you can download new songs for it, but I'm not sure how yet. I mean, they're constantly updated.
They're constantly updated. You go to rockband.com/forum/showthread.
Huh?
Really?
That's what the link the guy sent me with. All the some new Disturbed tracks as well.
So
Indestructible, Inside the Fire, and Perfect Insanity from by Disturbed also available today. So,
what do you think you make for if you license one of your songs for Rock Band? I mean,
$300 million.
I just wonder how much he'll get from that. Just from that alone,
a lot.
Yeah,
of money.
Hmm.
Also, talking about casting opportunities, I mentioned that The Gong Show is holding auditions. The new Gong Show, looking for new freaks to make fun of on
that
show.
Can't wait for that.
Just got this casting call opportunity. If you have kids, you may want to know that Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader is looking for their next group of fifth graders. See, the problem with doing that show is they've got the fifth graders against the adults there who help them out and whatnot.
Right. Yeah.
The kids grow up. They graduate the fifth grade. They got to go into the sixth grade. You can't have sixth graders playing fifth graders.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So they need a new batch of fifth graders.
Change the show.
So if you've got a kid who's going to be in fifth grade during the 2008-2009 school year, you are encouraged to bring your kids on down to the Sheraton Universal. Bring your smoke masks. It's at Universal Hollywood Drive in Universal City on Sunday. This Sunday.
This Sunday.
9 a.m. Oh, no. It was yesterday. Never mind. Don't go.
What in God's name is happening with you?
They just sent me this, and the audition was Sunday, June 1st, it says here, which was yesterday.
Hey, Ben.
So don't go.
Why?
Glad I spent time on that.
But I want to be on that show.
Too late. Snooze, you lose, man. That's your problem.
Wow.
A-Rock.
Spectacular.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Sex and the City debuted this weekend, made $55.7 million.
Wow. Yeah.
That is a lot of bitter broads.
With all the tracking that they have in Hollywood, could they be so wrong and underestimate the box office of this thing by half?
So I think it was wishful thinking. Everybody's hoping, like, oh, please let this not be a big hit because we hate them and it.
No, but he's saying, isn't the movie company that has it the one that comes up with the estimate of...
It happens all the time.
How much it's going to make? They said 25 and then made 50.
Paramount lowballed Iron Man, too. They didn't think it was going to make that much money.
Do they do that
either.
On purpose?
No. No, they genuinely try to factor in. I mean, that's what they're basing their advertising budgets on and a lot of other aspects of the promotion of the film is what the estimated return is going to be there on their investment. If they think it's going to be a blockbuster, they'll sink a lot of money into it because they know they'll recoup those monies. But
well, those people aren't very good at their jobs, are they?
Well, more often than not, they're right on. But occasionally, a movie takes the public's fancy and then just runs with it. So you do run into those discrepancies. But usually,
but the good news is they're going to do a sequel, obviously, and it'll be perfect for Samantha's 70th birthday. They can make
that's
that
true.
Well, if they wait that long again, they will.
Yeah,
I'm guessing they won't.
I'm guessing you're right.
Sex and the Home will be called. They'll be in walkers with little Prada knobs on the bottom.
I didn't Prada knobs. I didn't really pay attention to the reviews on this one because I really couldn't be bothered to lift my eyes enough to read those pages.
What
but
is all this hate for God's
is the movie
sakes.
Any good? Forget for a minute that it's a bad show.
How
TV
would you
show.
Know?
Is the
How
movie
would you
any
know?
Good?
How would you know?
The LA Times gave it a pretty good review.
Okay.
And I haven't heard anybody who didn't enjoy it who went. I mean, there were certainly men who saw it who ravaged it.
Sure.
But that's because they have your weird
you sure they
random
didn't savage
hate.
It, Lisa?
We don't have weird random hate.
Ravage and savage.
It's not random. We hate things pretty... You could count on the fact that we're going to hate
that
movie.
You hate everything?
Pretty much across the board we hate.
Same. But there's more hate. This is excessive hate. This is aggressive hate.
Good band.
Aggressive hate is a good band.
Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull was number 2 at the box office, made an additional $46 million this weekend. The Strangers was number 3 in its debut, then Iron Man, The Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian, What Happens in Vegas, Baby Mama, Speed Racer, Maid of Honor, and Forgetting Sarah Marshall, rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Fabrizio Moretti from The Strokes is 28 years old today. Dana Carvey, who... was just on the TV last night on the MTV Movie Awards, co-starring with his old pal Mike Myers, doing a little hilarious Wayne's World comedy.
Hotter than ever.
Fresh as today's headlines.
It was nice of Mike to give Dana a call just so that Dana can keep his insurance current.
G-Guard, Dana Reed. Oh, that character. Couldn't go away fast enough. Wayne Brady, speaking of Wayne's World, he is 36 years old today. Wentworth Miller of Prison Break, also 36. Zachary Quinto, who plays the sinister Siler over there on Heroes, soon to be Mr. Spock in the upcoming Star Trek movie. He is 31. Justin Long, Drew Barrymore's boyfriend and a talented
actor.
Oh,
that's tight.
A talented actor in his own right is 30. And Nikki Cox, our pal who's married to our other pal, Jay Moore. She's 30 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What'd he do, nephew?
Very exciting news for you if you're on the line right now and get on the air. We got a pair of passes to the K-Rock Advanced screening of The Incredible Hulk, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh,
how about that?
That looks great.
With the great Edward Norton, that'll be Thursday, June 12th. Plus, we'll throw on a pair of tickets to see both days of the Championship of Off-Road Racing. That's this Saturday and Sunday at the Fairplex in Pomona. Why don't we start with Freddie in Upland? He's on line 4 calling about a great TV moment over the weekend.
Freddie, good morning.
What it do, nephew? Dude, who needs the Incredible Hulk when you got Kimbo Slice killing people by blowing up their ears for crying out loud?
Do not tell me about that show. I recorded it. And my TiVo ended right after the poke in the eye incident.
Oh, no.
And I did not see Kimbo Slice hit the guy in the ear and have it explode.
Yeah, the show went long.
It popped like a pimple, dude. It just went boop.
Ouch.
Dude had a major cauliflower ear, and Kimbo just kept pounding on it until finally it burst and was hanging off his head like a piece of roast beef.
Man.
God. Here's the thing. If you're that guy, Colossus, what's the guy? What's his name?
James?
Whatever. Thompson? Colossus is what he fights by. If you're going into a match, don't you have somebody in your camp says, hey, we should have that thing looked at. Maybe we want to lance that before you go in.
No kidding.
Do something with it. But it was horrible.
These guys get hit in the ear a lot, I would imagine.
Kimbo hits hard.
This was on CBS Networks.
Saturday Night Fights.
The first of their new series that they got for the summer, right?
Yeah.
They were going so far over the top, though, to explain to people how this sport is just barely beginning. I was like, what are you talking about?
Well, they were introducing it to a brand new audience. A lot of people who aren't familiar with it, Kevin.
Whatever.
Whatever. You don't want people to enjoy or
no,
understand
I'm saying,
the sport?
How big does a sport have to be for them to still call it in its infancy? It's a huge sport.
It's still
sport.
Pretty niche considering all the other sports that are out there.
Right, but when you look at UFC and they're up to number 84 on their pay-per-views.
That's what I'm on pay-per-view. Well, how many people do you think get the pay-per-views?
But it's been around for a few years. I agree.
It's the first time it's been on network television.
I understand what they were trying to do.
You know, it's like watching a show on HBO. You know, what percentage of people even have cable to watch a show like that?
Sure.
If you're not watching Spike or the pay-per-views, you're probably not familiar with it.
Yeah, I guess.
I think it was good to have the national exposure for the sport on a major network like that. It was great. And Crush was on, too. And she's so hot.
She is hot.
So hot.
Yes. And a bad mofo.
TJ in Glendale has a bit of a complaint. I think I'm on his side. Good morning, TJ.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What's going on, Lisa?
What it do?
What it do? Hey, what's up with Sustainable Dave, man?
Sustainable Dave, it's a new month.
That's right.
It's a new month. We haven't talked to Sustainable.
I have
TJ,
bad.
If you missed it, here's how it would have went. Hey, you got a lot of trash? Yeah, sure do. Boy, your kids aren't going to like playing in that basement pretty soon. Yeah, my wife's pretty upset. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba. There you go. There's your call. There's your call. There you go.
I heard that he died and his wife put him down in the basement. I heard the body is down in the basement with the rest of the trash.
He's in the compost heap now.
If that's the case, let's call him.
We have a little bit of room tomorrow morning. Maybe we'll get him on. We'll put in the request, I guess. He's very busy, you know, very busy not throwing stuff away.
Let's go to David in Rancho Santa Margarita. Good morning, David.
How's it going, guys?
What's happening?
Hello.
No, I was wondering if you thought the spelling bee guy was pretty cool. The guy who won the spelling bee, he thought one of his words was numbnuts.
I thought one of the words was numbnuts. I don't know why how we were watching it, but the dude said numbnuts, and the little kid who's like 12 goes, numbnuts?
he's rad if he was going to spell that, because that's a cool dude to win the spelling bee.
Yeah.
Not.
I didn't know he won, but I didn't really care. But yeah, that was bizarre. When the guy said numbnuts, the whole crowd laughed. And the little kid's like, I don't know why they're laughing.
And the kid's ear blew up like a pimple. Just exploded on the side.
That was the fight. Kevin, how did you, of all people, end up watching the spelling bee? I'm the one who likes the spelling bee, and I didn't see it.
I came across
it. What happened?
I watch ESPN all the time. Came across it on Friday or Saturday, and I was obsessed with the fact that the kid would ask them to repeat the word 75,000 times. Can you say it again? Blah, blah, blah.
Well,
can
you say it again? You need to make sure you hear it properly if you're going to attempt to spell it. Certainly, that makes sense.
Because you're trying to visualize it.
It was a joke. It was like somebody had a camera on me, and they were like, let's watch this guy now. We're going to say it 20 times, and his head's going to explode because the kid won't spell it. I was yelling, spell it! And then they said numbnuts, and I thought that was funny.
That's why Kevin's not invited to watch them live.
Let's talk to Claudia in Whittier real quick before we go, because she is the only person I think we've had on the air so far who actually had a good experience going to see the Sex and the City movie. Claudia, go ahead.
Not a very good experience.
Not good. Is what
he meant. Guys.
Hi.
We attempted to go watch Sex and the City, and this was at 11 in the morning, go to the movie theater. There was already a line to buy tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And halfway through the movie, it shuts off. There was a power outage.
Oh, you're so lucky.
You're so lucky, lucky girl.
So you didn't have to watch the last four hours?
Yeah.
We didn't get to watch. I mean, it was like halfway through the movie, and I thought, okay, maybe it's part of the movie or something, but my husband says no.
Wait a minute. You thought they would turn off the power in the whole theater as part of the movie?
Yeah.
Sure, they did that for the ladies who watched it on Oprah.
I don't know what that means.
I didn't follow that at all.
It was like The Sopranos. It just went to black. I don't know. You had to figure out whether Carrie was shot in the booth or not.
No. And it just shut up. And it was out for like maybe 30 minutes, and we decided to go to another movie theater.
You sat there for 30 minutes?
Yeah, they were out. Well, they were trying to calm people, and they asked us to leave immediately right after. They asked us to leave, but the whole
you wouldn't go?
Lobby was packed. I mean, it was
guys.
This is
the intelligence of the crowd that goes to Sex and the City right here on the phone.
Remember last Friday?
They were halfway through. I mean, I would wait 20 minutes to have the second half of the movie play.
Well, after they told you, please leave. Please leave the theater.
Yeah, usually what they do is get up.
The power comes back on.
Usually what they do is get up in front and say, please wait, we're trying to fix it. If they say, please leave, to me that's a sign it's kind of broken.
It's not coming back anytime soon.
For a while. And you go, yes, I get away from horse face. That's what you say.
Remember all the shows were canceled? I was kidding around, said, you know, there's technical difficulties, there were no prints, and then no one could see anything.
Right.
A friend of mine went to the first show, like 9:45 show, and her and her mother went in, and they couldn't start. The print wasn't working, so they sent everybody out to get a refund.
Awesome.
And she blamed me.
Awesome.
And said, you have to stop putting that bad mojo out there.
If that really worked, we could do that for a lot of movies.
Like, sorry, Sarah, I wish I had that kind of power.
I want to thank our special guests, Chris Martin and Johnny Buckland. Let's hear it for the guys from Coldplay today. They are always, in fact, honestly, if K-Rock was smart, they'd fire Kevin and Bean and hire those guys to do the show. They're way more talented than we are. But the new album is coming out on the 17th of June. It is called Viva La Vida or Death and All His Friends. It sounds like it's going to be fantastic. And we did make the big announcement that Coldplay is playing the Forum. This is new information. Brand new LA show just announced for Tuesday, July 15th. Tickets go on sale this Saturday morning at 10. And tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean show, apparently we have yet another new Coldplay announcement for you. If you're a fan of the band, you don't want to miss tomorrow morning right here on K-Rock.
So, Sex and the City is in the theaters, and our intern Beer Mug and Moose figured that that was a good audience of girls coming out, that they, it's like shooting fish in a barrel.
Really? That's what they thought?
Their exact words were, that's prime poon hunting.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, well, a lot of desperate, lonely women going to movies by themselves.
So Psycho Mike went out with them.
Or really healthy, smart women going to movies with their girlfriends.
That happened.
Also, I don't know if you know Emmanuel Shrieky.
Yes, I do. The girl who canceled on us?
The one who won't be at our show tomorrow, that one? You want to tell us about it?
What?
Just, we're going to reschedule her. We'll have her later in the week.
Just canceled.
Plus, you can make your own lesbian movie. All right,
hey,
whatever.
Don't bury the lead.
Whatever.
Don't bury the
lead. We only have,
lead.
Ralph, we only have time. 9 seconds left. But Kat Corbett is coming up with 40 seconds. Oh, no. See you tomorrow on K-Rock.